This is PFW in Progress. PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Oh, fudge.
Only I didn't say fudge.
Paul Perillo.
Fragile. It must be Italian.
I think that says fragile.
Oh, yeah.
And Andy. And Andy?
Andy, don't play with your food. Eat it.
Andy Hart.
Andy, show me how the piggies eat. Eat it, boy. Show mommy how the piggies eat.
Some guy named Tom.
He looks like a deranged Easter bunny. He looks like a pink nightmare.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
Holy smokes, only one thing in the world could have dragged me away from the soft glow of electric sex gleaming in the window.
PFW in Progress.
We're in the Fisher Red Undercover Nation. Do you want to shoot me by Lee Russell?
You'll shoot your eye out, kid. Merry Christmas. Ho, ho, ho.
Apparently Christmas comes easy early, for Patriots fans. This Sunday afternoon, they'll be celebrating a big victory over the Indianapolis Colts. At least that's what I'm saying. Andy Hart,
looks
PFW
like it's,
in
looks
progress.
Like it's going to be big.
Starting to look big. That voice you hear in the past, Tom Casale.
In the past? I mean, you know, you just made fun of Lori.
I don't know. I'm trying to read.
You had three words out. Unbelievable.
Suck my
it looks like Marvin Harrison is going to be iffy now. And to me, that's a problem. I just, Gonzalez is more of a slot guy. I don't see him. Then you're going to have to put Dallas Clark on the outside. And like we said before, they could even put Samuel on him when he's on the outside and cover Gonzalez in the slot with Gay. It's not looking good for the Colts now.
I agree.
Yeah, Dungy flat out said he's doubtful, talking about Harrison. So, and I agree with Tom. I think Anthony Gonzalez, I think he's gotten off to a slow start in the first place, but to ask him, you know, to fill a role of one of those top two spots, I think that's asking a lot.
And even if Harrison played at like 70%, just having him out on the field can at least take away a Samuel or a Hobbs to cover him. But not being out there, that's a big difference in my opinion.
Yeah, and who knows? Maybe it's a little bit of gamesmanship on the part of Dungy, but...
Well, he's not really hurt. Team decision.
Yeah, we know he's hurt because he's missed games. He missed the last game, you know, and we know that he is not practicing, so... I just think that if he's gone a little bit of time now without being out there, I think if he was had a chance, they'd have him out on the practice field at least on a limited basis. And you know, he's been really he's been limited to the point where he's doing nothing. So I don't think he's going to play.
The Colts' offense didn't look that good against Carolina. Manning have like three or four completions?
And they've started slow all year. They've been a slow starter. The Patriots are a quick starter. Yeah. That could be bad news. Yeah. He's trying to play catch up.
14-0.
Right, and then you're trying to play catch up with Anthony Gonzalez and maybe Dallas Clark, maybe trying to do too much or more than his role. Sides are starting to sway over to Andy's ideas.
That's a good point, Andy, that I think Dallas Clark is very dangerous when you put Wayne and you put Harrison and Adai in there. But when you start asking him to be another receiver, that's
when you
not
ask
really
him to be Ben
role.
Watson last year, when everybody said, oh, we got Ben Watson, we'll be fine, we don't need receivers. No.
Right.
You're fine when the tight end or the slot guy is doing things as a tight end slot guy. You try to make him the target of the offense, and he's not as valuable anymore.
Yeah. Just to touch on your intentional shot at me, by the way, to get over to Andy's side.
Reality, I can't speak.
I know you can't.
Is it the chair?
Is Fred rubbing
off on me?
I fully expect the Patriots to win the game, and I felt like that all along, and that's why I think it was week two when you and I...
Boldly
predicted that they would go undefeated. I think the Patriots are the best team, but I still think the Colts are pretty good. I just don't think they're as good as the Patriots.
Well, Paul, we're jumping right into the football analysis. No, they're not.
Yeah.
We're jumping right into the football analysis, and there's a bit of a controversy brewing around Patriots Nation, Colts Nation, all courtesy of the NFL Network.
What is it?
Comparing Brady and Manning last night, where they, I forgot what the show is called, Who's Better? Who's Better?
Who's Better?
And they went through it, and our first email, I'm going to jump right into the emailers, webradio@patriots.com, webradio@patriots.com. If you do want to call us, Craig, it's 508-543-7482. 508-543-7482. We are taking all callers from all around the world, not just Craig, not just Dave and the Peens. Anybody out there who wants to call, we'll take it.
And the Peens.
Yeah, I shortened it. Apostrophe.
Well, I'm sure Lucky will chime in. Lucky, I'm wearing your shirt. Thanks.
Lucky. Hey, guys. James from England checking in. I watched something on NFL Network about who is better, Brady or Manning, and thought it would be fun to see your guys' response to the questions asked. I listed my responses, too, and was surprised to see that going on my answers, it would be a tie, though as a homer, I have to say that just isn't true. Laugh out loud. Ha ha ha. Footwork, mobility. Tom.
Footwork. Oh, Brady.
Brady.
Brady. James went with Brady. Unfortunately, he doesn't tell me what NFL Network went with. I don't have.
They went with Brady.
Okay. Arm strength. Tom.
Manning.
I would say Manning.
I would say Manning, too, as did James. Accuracy.
Jeez, that's a tough one. I guess I'll go with Brady by a nose.
Brady.
I would go with Brady as well. James, a Patriots fan from England, went with Manning. Toughness and durability.
Brady.
I know this is.
You
got
to pick one.
No,
pick
I'm,
one.
I'm not. I can't.
No,
I can't.
No.
I think it's a dead wash.
It's a tough one. The only reason I'm going with Brady is because he's been hit more.
That's what I would. Really, I think it's in my mind. It's pretty significantly towards Brady.
I would bet that if you looked, you know, I shouldn't say that. It's impossible. I've seen Manning take a lot of hits. I see Brady every game take hits, and as Andy put it, we talked about this off the air. Andy put it, he's taken hits that he absolutely should not have gotten up from, and he gets up. I've seen Manning do it. I just haven't seen him do it as often because I don't watch him every game.
Well, don't you also think when Tarek Glenn was there, their offensive line was a better pass blocking line?
No, I think Manning took a lot of hits.
I go by what I read from people who cover the Colts and see them more often than I do that say he doesn't get hit as much, that he stays cleaner in there because of his quick release, because of that line, because of everything they do on offense.
But I think a lot of the same stuff we say about Brady. I mean, how does he only get sacked 20 times a year? I mean,
but I don't say Brady doesn't get hit until this year. Before this year, I think he got hit at a miraculous rate.
Yeah, I think if you look, well,
I think he made his offensive line look way better than it was because I think he got killed.
I think it's hard to say who's tougher.
I'm calling it a wash. I'm sorry. I can't pick between two guys that don't ever miss a snap.
Right.
Sorry, Brian. Clutch.
Well, that's the NFL Network's fault because that's a bad category. Tougher. I mean, that's hard to say. Like Paul said, they never miss a game. Clutch. Well, you got to go Brady for right now. Yeah.
Brady.
Brady, as did James. Timing / delivery.
Manning.
I'm going to say Manning, too, but that's a tough one, too. I'm going to go Manning. Slight edge.
I'll go Manning, but I agree. Could be close.
Have you been picking all of these?
What?
Have you been picking all of these? You agree with all of us on all of them?
I have no idea.
Except for the one that I wouldn't pick.
I have no idea. Paul, Brian, Maury.
Don't ever say that.
Decision making.
Brady.
Brady.
Brady. Football IQ.
Manning.
I'm going to say Manning, too.
I'll say Manning, but I think they're pretty close.
Yeah, they're
very
close.
Very
close.
I think every single one of these, I don't think there's a landslide in any one of them except for there's one in here that we haven't gotten to. That's the only one I think that's decidedly in favor of any one over the other.
Achievements.
That's the one.
Brady.
Brady.
Right. Brady. Leadership.
That's one of those, again, I think it's how do you answer it?
I'll give you two choices, Brady or Manning.
I guess I'm going to say Manning.
Dan Klecko.
I'm going to say Brady. That's the first one Tom and I have disagreed on.
Leadership. I will go with, I'm going to go Brady.
Yeah, I think that one is a very, very close one. Again, you know, the only one I think, like I said, is decidedly in the edge of one is the achievements. 3-1, I think, is a significant edge in Super Bowls. But in terms of leadership, it's hard to choose. I mean, these guys are both tremendous leaders. I just think that Manning has tended to show indications of a lack of leadership at the most inopportune times. I would bring 05 playoffs as an example. That Pittsburgh game, I don't think he did a good job of getting his team through that tough time in that game. I think that Brady might have done a better job. But we've also seen Brady sort of not handle adversity well at times. Now, admittedly, he hasn't had anywhere near as much practice with adversity as Manning has. But
well, that's what I thought of when I answered it. I thought of when the Colts
throwing the water
them,
bottle and not going out for the press comments and all that. But there have been a few Manning moments like too.
Okay.
So, okay, let's add these up. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 to 4 in favor of Brady for Tom. 6-3-1 for me.
For Brian Morey. I mean, Paul.
So that means 7-3 for Andy.
7-3 for Andy.
And I, who do I take?
Brady.
That's
I think we all kind of
actually, it should be a little closer than that.
But see, but it's razor thin.
Right.
It's razor thin on every one of these categories. I think for me, there's a couple that I went Brady with this year that I think if you'd asked me last year or any year before that, I probably wouldn't have. And the reason is we got to see it.
Right.
We got to see what would happen with Brady if he had the weapons that Manning has. And we see now all the world can see that he'd be every bit as prolific as Manning ever has been, if not more so.
But on the opposite
with those
side.
Weapons. But we haven't seen Manning do it without it.
But we haven't seen Manning with a defense. I know the defense is good. But
absolutely,
he didn't have Belichick,
and he didn't have he didn't have a defense like Brady has had throughout his career.
So and we've never seen
Colts fans could argue that. Now.
Right, there's
it's
a lot
so
we
weird
haven't
how
seen.
How this is coming full circle.
We haven't seen Manning without weapons. We haven't seen Manning with a defense. We haven't seen Brady without weapons and without a defense. I mean, there's like different permutations of the equation. Bottom line is they're both special.
Yeah.
They're both.
So who did the NFL Network pick?
I don't know. That's what I said the flaw with our little game was. I don't have the
no,
unless
like
it's in here.
Overall, do you know who they picked as the winner?
I'm guessing Manning since the local radio boys were all worked up this morning.
But I didn't add them all up, so I you know, there was some of them like accuracy, I think they picked Manning and they were like up in arms about. There were some things that I think you could very legitimately look at both sides and say, well, yeah, I can see that. They
I think
was,
all of them.
Some of them were a personal affront to Dennis and Callahan this morning.
I think you could make an argument for either guy for every category.
Yeah, and if they picked Manning, how could I can understand people saying, well, I think it's Brady, but how could you be up in arms?
Right.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Like, well, the way they were talking about it, he said, now I'm up out of my chair. Now I'm ready to throw something at the TV. Now I'm ready to blow up NFL Network.
Yeah.
Now I'm.
I mean, like they were talking about toughness. Now, we just talked about it a little bit here, so we know how we all feel, but You can't see how you could pick a guy who's never missed a start in two or three extra years worth of games?
And it's are we doing this like now or over the career?
Well,
because
that's what John Dennis talked about.
Manning's been taking some hits earlier on in his career that he hasn't taken maybe the last couple of seasons.
Right.
I remember that Philadelphia game. I think it was last year. Did they play Philadelphia last year? Yeah, they played Dallas, right? So
they played
Philadelphia. Oh, he took some ungodly shots in that game.
It was on Monday Night Football, actually.
You know what this is? Good job, NFL Network, because everybody's talking about it today.
And I think against Washington, he took some big hits last year, too. So, yeah, no, unlike these, I don't know why it is, but some of these people seem to think this is a dumb topic to bring up. Who's better? I think it's fascinating. I think there are so many different ways of looking at it. I think they're two of the best that we've ever seen, ever. And I think to sit there and try to break down their games and analyze what you like about each and you know, who you give an edge, I think it's great.
All right, with no Fred Kirsch here, we jumped into the emails early, and we will jump into the phone calls early. Heading north of the border for Matt in Toronto. Matt, what's going on, eh?
How's it going, boys?
What's up?
Hey, Matt.
Relaxing here at the office. Figured I'd give you guys a call.
Glad your boss is glad to hear that.
You know, my boss is JP Ricciardi, so actually he's
nice.
The boss, so.
JP,
oh, nice, perfect.
Yeah, so, Paul, I started reading the book, The Blueprint, and first thing I did when I got it, I turned to the index just to see who was in it, and luckily, you know, your name showed up a bunch of times.
Yeah, did I say anything really stupid?
Not that I've got to yet. I'm only about a quarter of the way through.
Keep reading.
I'm waiting to complain about being misquoted. I always wanted to do that. They always do that to us. I wanted to see if I could do it.
It's dumb
to
you
else.
Said it.
Sounds good. So when you boys leave for the trip? Saturday, tomorrow?
Yep. Yeah. Tomorrow, windy conditions expected in this area.
Lots
75 mile an hour winds, rain.
Lot of rain.
Remnants of that hurricane passing by. Could be a tough takeoff.
Well, I got confidence we'll get there in time. Anyways, boys, my opinion of this whole game, I think Belichick, he's got that killer in him, like you guys have said, that he was just that look that he had after this game last year in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That I think he's just going to put some extra in the boys, and they're gonna go out there and basically kill him. You know, they take after their coach, and I don't think there's another coach out there that would basically go after someone in a kill, and I think he's going to do it.
Well, they have the killer instinct this year.
I'll give you a quick little anecdote to back up your your feelings, Matt. Our own Andy Hart asked Bill Belichick today if maybe years from now he could look at that AFC Championship game and I think the word you used, Andy, was appreciate just, you know, how great of a game it was and the back-and-forth nature of it and the quirkiness of the linemen, all the, you know, on both sides of the ball scoring touchdowns. And Bill just looked at him like he clutched that podium a little tighter than normal, like he had four heads, and said, yeah, no.
Yeah, he wasn't happy. He'll never enjoy that game.
I think the quote was, there's nothing about that game that I appreciate. So I think there is a little something extra for this game for Bill.
I think I lost about 10 pounds in sweat in that second half.
Paul didn't. Anyway, are the Jays going to close the gap on the World Champion Red Sox?
Hopefully. We had a really good draft class this year, so they won't be up for a while. But, you know, we get healthy, and you never know.
When's BJ Ryan going to be back?
Hopefully at the end of spring training. I mean, it's Tommy John.
Right.
It takes a while.
Yeah.
But, Andy, I was listening to you earlier this week, and you were dead on with baseball. You win 60, you lose 60, and it's what you do in the other 42.
See?
Yeah, of course. Of
he
course.
Can appreciate
but, of course, you messed it up and said,
yeah, I was close.
You win 50 and lose 50.
Yeah, I was close.
No, absolutely.
Yeah,
we could turn this into Blue Jays Weekly, though. I want to ask about A.J. Burnett. Is he ever going to put it together?
Cold.
Yeah.
Sorry?
I was just going to ask if he's ever going to put it together on a consistent basis. Tom's really happy.
Well,
I just don't care because you don't have a chance. You play in the same division with the Red Sox and Yankees.
Well, they finished ahead of the Red Sox last year.
That's true.
Yeah.
You got no
the
chance.
The thing with AJ is he can throw 97 in his sleep. And it's if he gets his other secondary stuff, sometimes he starts throwing and sometimes he starts pitching. When he starts pitching, he's on. When he thinks he can just ream back and throw 97, 98, and it starts to flatten out. His fastball starts to flatten out up there, and, you know, guys can hit that. And, you know, look with Beckett two years ago.
Yep, sounds like Josh Beckett last year.
And, yep. I mean, major league hitters can hit fastballs. You got to, you know, it's your secondary stuff that you got to place and then set them up for that fastball. And, you know what, hopefully he started to pitch more to contact this year, which Halliday started to do with, like, a cut fastball. And,
sure.
Hopefully H can pick that up.
All right, Matt. Well, thanks for the update on the Jays.
Before you go, Matt, do you mind if I ask what you do for the Jays? Is that okay?
I'm doing my internship in baseball and scouting. I just finished university, so I'm in the baseball operations and scouting department.
Oh, okay.
All right, Matt. Well, thanks for the call, and you're going to be right Sunday. Patriots in a blowout. See you.
Yeah. See you, boys.
Thank you. I am
so it's 60 and 60. I was close.
No, I am starting to lean a little bit. I mean, I thought the Patriots were going to win this game all along, but I'm starting to lean more toward the double-digit win than
Bill,
the, you know,
especially
the
if
week.
Harrison doesn't play.
Yeah,
and Bill even implied that he may have it figured out. Did you hear that today? When he asked the media if they had it figured out, and they said, "You got it figured out," and he said, "I don't know.
We'll see."
Yeah, we'll see. So
we'll see.
Even hinting that he might have it figured out.
I assumed Harrison was going to play all week until yesterday. So
I still think there's a chance he plays.
Yeah, actually. I think there's a chance. He said doubtful. He didn't say out.
Yeah, I know.
There's definitely a chance.
Plus, he's not hurt. It's a team decision.
Okay, Chris Ferreira.
Yeah, you missed it,
that one this
Chris
morning.
Ferreira up in arms because Dungy's manipulating the injury report by putting team decision for Harrison.
God.
It got so bad that some new girl that works here over in, like, the marketing slash events started making fun of Chris Ferreira. Don't you think he's doing it because Belichick cheats all the time? We got an ally over there somewhere now.
Oh, man.
I might not want to say what her name is after you just made that quote public, by the way. She'll be out of the door.
Well, I'm fine because I don't know her name.
The Chris Ferreira, I've never seen a man take that much abuse. It's one thing when Andy gets on him, then I kind of join in and pile on. But there's people in that office that shout from across the room to get a piece of
Eric
him.
Was giving him a hard time.
Jesus.
That just says it all.
Eric doesn't do a lot of, you know, making fun of when we're involved in that. Eric found it humorous that he was trying to make that
I know you're listening. Do something that I do. I used to send emails when I was mad, and that's not a good idea. So what I do now is I write the email, then I stop. I go back and read it over and pretty much delete everything. Why don't, before you talk, write it down, wait 2 minutes, go back and read it, and then say something else.
That's probably a good idea. WebRadioPatriots.com, WebRadioPatriots.com. I know we've already delved into emails and calls.
Sure.
Do we need to get anything in the press conference?
I was wondering who was in the Blue Jays minor league system. You guys got anything on that?
Well, suddenly, you know, I was glad he said, you know, that won't matter for a reason because it suddenly turned into football. They're counting on the draft to help them next year.
Right.
No,
it's going to be a couple years.
That A.J. Burnett, he'll never be healthy.
Wow.
Forget about it.
But press conference, Paul, anything you'd like to get off your chest from the press conference locker room? Your big teats?
Not really. Not really.
Nothing? Nothing in the press conference struck you? Nothing in the locker room struck you?
I didn't think there were really, as normal Fridays, I didn't think there was anything really pressing today.
Bill Belichick admitted that he has spoken with Doc Rivers about the Celtics season that opens up tonight. Says, it's not in his date book, but he keeps in touch with
really
some of
friendly.
The other...
He's friendly with Doc, and he's friendly with Tito. And they talk, I won't say a lot, but they talk... from time to time. So I wasn't overly surprised by that.
I actually told you I'd like to talk to him about it. It wasn't the situation because they were kind of just joking. But maybe if he gave Doc Rivers any advice on...
How to coach?
Well, no, bringing in Kevin Garnett, a superstar, to mix in with Paul Pierce, a superstar, sort of the Brady, Moss, putting a team together on, Thomas came on in defense. He put some stars together and it worked.
Everything I'm hearing, it's magic. Over there
in
the Garden.
They're on every cover in the world.
It certainly seems that way.
Yeah, it'll seem that way until it's Garnett, 27-7-4, Ray Allen, 26-5-5, Pierce, 4-3-2.
But Garnett's one of those guys who doesn't really care about scoring a lot.
But Paul Pierce does. That's the problem.
Here's the thing, and I think that's the guy you got to be concerned about. I think Allen and Garnett will be fine.
No question. Paul Pierce will ruin it. He'll disrupt the apple cart.
As soon as Pierce is not the focal point, on any kind of a consistent basis, I think you have a
Paul
worry,
Pierce is an
worry
apple.
Sign.
There's always a worm in it somewhere. Sometimes the skin grows back over it, but that worm will chew out.
Tom, you
bit.
Must be thrilled. Now we've gone from the Blue Jays to the Celtics.
I watched a little Bruins last night.
I was going to say, how the Bruins doing?
They won in overtime
last night.
And they left another opponent bleeding.
Oh,
Bruins way. I didn't see the fight, but he was on the bench with just blood pouring out of him.
When I got up this morning, real quick, they were talking about it. I hadn't seen it, but it's supposed to be a heck of a fight because Barry Melrose said, we'll talk about it more on SportsCenter, and even though I don't condone fighting, he said this one was just too good. So
every game.
A heck of a fight.
Every game, they finished the game with some opponent.
Is it that Lucic
bloody.
Guy again?
I don't know. I have no idea, but they left a guy bleeding on the bench, and that seems to be the Bruins. You know how they had that whole ad campaign for the Bruins? It's Bruins, whatever it is. Now they should do that.
It's called Bruins.
It's called Bruins. Well, now we're whooping ass. It's called Bruins. I like it. They're taking the Patriot approach, raping and pillaging.
PJ.
PJ
is on the phone.
Oh, we got PJ on the phone. Hey, PJ, I'm acting like Fred Kirsch. You can just talk. Go ahead.
Yo, guys, I hate to interrupt your Celtic talk, but I got to talk to Paul for a second.
Hey, what's up, yo?
Paul, there's been many a times where I've been where I've disagreed with you, and
you're not the only one.
Threw my iPod across the room while you were speaking, but yes, after listening to yesterday's show, I now know why you're a great member of the PFW In Progress staff.
Hey, thanks.
Why you bought lunch?
I don't know.
That was two days ago.
I don't know if what you guys talked about earlier. I just tuned in, but yesterday's show turned into a circus as soon as you passed your notepad off to Fred.
Yeah, I heard. Yeah,
that's because we couldn't read his writing.
I heard.
He does write like an idiot.
If you actually saw my writing, you'd be surprised that they can't read it. But
no, the only thing I got wrong was Atlanta and Arizona.
Yeah, we got good analysis on the Tampa Atlanta game. So whenever they play,
blow him up. Aren't the Cowboys coming to town this week, Big Mouth? We'll see if you're laughing on Tuesday.
That's one of the reasons why I called. Now, Tom, I'm a realistic fan. The Cowboys are a much better team than the Eagles, and they're going to be obviously have a better record. Eagles might not even make the playoffs, but I think they're going to give them a game this week.
Oh, I don't doubt that at all. I wouldn't be surprised if the Cowboys lost. It's a road game. It's against a tough division opponent, and I think this is a huge game for the Eagles.
And the Eagles are running the drug emporium out of their head coach's house.
That's unbelievable.
Listen, the Cowboys, they're not the Patriots and the Colts. You can't match them up in a game, especially on the road, and say, oh, they're going to win. They're not that good.
Yeah, you're right. Well, the Eagles actually are getting very healthy right now. They're the healthiest they've ever been, and Dawkins is coming back, which is an emotional lift for the team. So it's going to be an interesting game. But real quick question about the Patriots. What do you guys think Seymour's role is going to be? Last week, he's rusty and didn't seem like he caused much havoc. Is he going to be a major factor this week, or is it going to take a couple weeks for him to get back into the flow of things?
Well, I think it'll kind of be like Harrison for the Colts. I don't think he might not be a major factor for another week or so because he has missed so much time, but just having him out there and having to double team him or block him or just having a game plan for him, I think that's a big advantage for the Patriots, and I expect him to play a heck of a lot more than 22 snaps in this game.
Do you think we'll ever see the Seymour of 2 or 3 years ago? Because I know you guys have talked a lot about how, especially Tom, you said, since you've got here, he hasn't been the force that we've seen. Are we ever going to see that again? Or
no, I was talking more about last season. I just didn't like when I first got here. That Pittsburgh game that he played was one of his best games ever.
I remember that.
Right.
And I definitely think he'll get, especially with the way Wilfork is playing in the middle there. Who do you double team now?
Right.
You know, you're going to leave Wilfork one on one with those Shoemaker centers. He'll kill them. You leave Seymour one on one. He'll kill that guy. Even Warren, you can't leave him one on one a lot. So it's pick your poison on the defensive line. The scary thing about the Patriots team, I think, that we haven't probably talked enough about is their defense might get better as the year goes on.
I think it should.
That's
scary. I
think
that's very, very possible. Their defense toward the end of the year, you're looking at it, it's like, wow, the defense is playing at a level that the offense is playing at. And we already, you know, no one sees an end in sight to what the offense is doing.
Tell me the point differential could go up from whatever it is, 25 and change?
Well, I don't know about that,
70.
Because I don't know how much higher.
70 to the Jets game.
Yeah.
The idiot just spoke into his headphone.
Eric called me.
Oh, we're getting a practice update. Breaking news here. Is that all you got, TJ?
Yeah, that's it. I just want to tell Tom I'm going to enjoy a Patriots victory, and he goes, you know, Sunday night.
All right. See you, man.
All right, guys.
See you, PJ. All right, we'll see if we get...
just so you know, these emails are ridiculous. Every time you look up, there's five more.
Yeah, we understand how it works.
In the old days.
The last time you hosted?
It's been a while.
Mitchell and Wilson return to practice. Ben Watson not at practice.
Ooh, a little bit of a setback maybe on the ankle. Pushed it a little too hard.
Wonder if maybe they're just giving him a little bit of a break.
Could be.
Trying to aggravate it. Plant the seed in Indy, like maybe he's not going to play, whereas it looked like he was going to. And
is Wilson a seed the other way? Is he not going to play and they're just planting a seed that he might?
I think that might be accurate.
Be interesting. Because he's an interesting guy as a free safety, middle of the field, the Dallas Clark talk, who you're going to cover who with, blah, 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 blah.
I think you need those guys in a game like this. I think the safety depth last year was a factor in the second half when you were missing Wilson, Harrison, Wilson, and then you started losing other guys during the course of the game. Hawkins was in and out.
Both positions, linebacker and safety. The positions you talk about, speed in the middle of the field. Sayo was already gone. Colvin got cramps.
Thomas wasn't even on the
Thomas
team.
Thomas wasn't here. So, I mean, both those positions are very different than what they were last year. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Now, again, it might not matter as much if Harrison can't play. I think that kind of really cuts into the matchup there because they're big guns. Even if you think Harrison is no longer the one, if he's there too, he's such a key factor to that offense, having guys on both sides of the field that you really have to fear and pay attention to.
Right.
I just think that changes
it. If I were the Steelers, I'd just start benching Roethlisberger and Willie Parker and Hines Ward. You know they're not going to – one of them is going to be hurt by the time they come here.
Probably. All right, Lee Johnson wanted to follow up on our little Brady Manning thing. Do you have another call, Gary? Are you making hand signals back there? Okay. Well, you snuck up on me
with
the last one. I'm having trouble. I do feel like Fred today. I don't know what's going on here. I wish I was rich like Fred.
I'd like to say that you're doing an impersonation, but I think
guys,
you're being yourself.
I'm surprised about your analysis. Manning was number one overall, and Brady was a sixth rounder because Manning is much better physical talent. That leads me to believe that the difference between Manning and Brady is between the ears. Arm, accuracy, and other physical stuff I give to Manning. Decision-making, leadership, and clutch-type stuff to Brady. They're both Hall of Famers, but Manning could win in any system, while Brady is not the same guy without BB. Tom couldn't even hold the starter's job at the University of Michigan because he wasn't as physically gifted as their other QBs. Your thoughts?
This argument is awful. Just awful.
Yeah. I mean,
first of all, Brady had... Listen, there was no bigger Drew Henson fan when he was at Michigan than me. I thought he was going to be phenomenal in the NFL. But... he was given that job basically because he was Drew Henson. Brady didn't do anything to lose that job.
Right.
That's
the reason he was a sixth round pick and not a first round pick.
Right.
Because everything he did while on the field screamed a much higher pick than he ended up being. But because he split time and Bill admitted it, Bill came flat out and said it at the time. You just didn't know because there was you didn't know why he was constantly. Splitting time with Drew Henson.
I always go back
to
when people bring up this, oh, he lost his job at Michigan, he split time, he couldn't play. Grab a Michigan media guide or whatever they call it in college and look at the records, look at the games and say, oh, wow, Tom Brady was pretty good when he was there. People don't, like, they think he was Matt Castle.
I said,
he wasn't.
Last year I was up at the media relations department and they were showing an old Penn State-Michigan game. and Michigan scored twice in
the
final
last
2 minutes.
Yeah. I remember watching that game live.
Musburger's exact words was, "Tom Brady does it again."
Right.
So they were expecting that out of him way back then. And he was a very good – and I always thought – I said after the Alabama Bowl game that Michigan played him, where he had a huge, huge game, I said to the kid I was watching the game with, I said, "You know what? This guy's going to be a very good backup in the NFL."
And that's what Bill thought when he drafted him in the sixth round.
You nailed that one, because he would be a damn good backup.
Because I thought that Lloyd Carr probably stunted his growth there, being the bad coach that he was. But it's hard to say it's between the ears, because I think Manning is a smart quarterback, too, and I think Brady's got a lot of physical ability.
Well, first of all, Manning started out on top because he was Archie Manning's kid. Well, he has the notoriety.
That's what they said about the NFL on the NFL Network about, you know, why they gave him the nod for IQ was because he's grown up around the game. Every conversation at dinner he's ever had has been about football with a professional quarterback father and a professional quarterback brother.
But I also think that plays into being the number one overall pick, being recruited, being everything, because you're Archie's kid.
He also had a college career commensurate with the number one pick.
If Tom Brady had been – his dad had been an NFL quarterback that everybody knew, he would have had more notoriety.
He may not have lost – he may not have had a
split
the
job. He wouldn't have lost the job. He would have had his pick of choice of colleges.
Because that's exactly the reason why he was in that spot, was because Drew Henson
John
was
John Elway's kid on the little scroll. Elway's kid is going to Arizona State.
Right. I agree with
there
you.
There might be a better quarterback out there, but he's not on the little scroll necessarily because he's not John Elway's kid.
Brady almost won the job as far back as when Brian Griese was there. It was neck and neck, and Brady was really, really bummed out. You read the book, and I know it's not necessarily an easy read, but Charlie Pierce's book does a great – it's Moving the Chains, I think, is the one that one was called. Tom Brady and His Quest for Everything, something along those lines.
A book full of big words.
But it's not the easiest of reads, but it does a really good job of chronicling his trials and tribulations at Michigan. Talks to some of the advisors and whatnot that are involved in the Wolverines program, and doesn't, I told you this, Tom, at the time when I read the book, it does not paint a flattering picture at all of Lloyd Carr.
No one paints a flattering picture of Lloyd Carr.
So,
did Ty Law play for Lloyd Carr?
Yeah.
Is he the one he hates?
I don't know if he played for Lloyd Carr, but I will know.
I know Ty Law hates whoever coached him at Michigan.
I can tell you this, that he always says aliquip equips.
No, I know, and that's why. He hates Michigan. Yeah. But I didn't know if that was Carr.
What year was he
95
drafted?
He was drafted, so he would have played at Michigan in 93, 94.
That's
a long wait, yeah.
Carr's been there about 12 years.
He may have played for Gary Moeller,
who was an even bigger idiot, so that would explain Aliquippa.
And finally, just before we finish Lee's email, sticking with his prediction, Pats 45, Colts 34. Great show as always.
I think that would be great if that was the score of the game, because that would be a lot of fun.
For the record, NFL Network, according to Clint Scholes, picked Manning
7-3. 7-3?
Much like I picked Brady
7-3. I was going to say, Andy picked Brady
7-3. I know, and I thought it was stupid.
Even I said it should have been closer than that, but I...
But some of those are just, I don't know, like accomplishments is definitely Brady.
Yeah, that one is the only one, in my opinion, that's a landslide. That I don't see how
you
could possibly pick
the
other guy.
I'm surprised the NFL Network had it so decisive, because I figured it would be a lot closer with those guys picking
it. It was all of those ones, I think, that could have gone either way. They went to Manning for whatever reason. Now, John Dennis's big thing was... The things that are subjective, because everybody doesn't like the Patriots right now, went to Manning. And everything that was, you know, objective, it was number-based, you know, like like accomplishments.
Calling.
You can't, you know, it's there's stats there to prove that, went to Brady.
Hello.
I don't really agree with that line of thinking. But Gary printed out that story that we were talking about earlier in the week from the Washington Post about Sally Jenkins wrote in the Pats No Pity Party, and I love the first line is great. I have a weakness for world conquest, which may explain my fascination with the New England Patriots. And it's, you know, it's Sally Jenkins. This is the one that we had an emailer write in saying he didn't think it was a sports reporter because there were a lot of big words in it. Well, Sally Jenkins is a sports reporter,
but uses big words.
She's excellent. She's been a columnist for a lot of times. She's been in Sports Illustrated and done a lot of different things.
As you would say, never heard of Billy Bear.
Never heard of Sally Jenkins?
No, is she like a big timer? Should I know that name?
Yeah, but I don't think we've seen her around Foxborough too often. I don't remember ever meeting her or seeing her here or anything like that.
All right. Good buddy Strippers checking in.
Yeah.
First, he wants to say worst prediction so far. Lomas Brown on ESPN First Take. Colts 17, Pats 16. So the Pats will score one touchdown and three field goals. How do guys like this get gigs on TV? They could have two touchdowns and two
extra, I mean, two-point conversions, right?
Or an extra point blocked.
Yeah. And a little issue with you, Tom. If Tom doesn't believe I work for...
That was a joke, stripper.
And I'm not going to read it. He says, email support at... And I'll reply, Tom, you suck. Man, I try to take care of you guys with logins that I set up, and Tom questions me. Take care.
You question the very manner in which I provide it.
That was just
really,
joking.
I'd just rather have you say thank you and be on with it.
Check out the new stuff?
No.
Oh, neither.
Take care.
We got a Carmen in St. Catharines. Gary, where's that? Sounds like a tropical island you may have visited. St. Catharines? Hey, guys. Always a great show, except when Andy hosts. No, I added that in myself. Look forward to every webcast. I'm trying to wrap my head around the rumor as to why the NFL wanted to destroy BB's tape so quickly. Please give any details and, of course, your opinions. Paul, take it.
I don't have any theory.
You got to have an opinion. You got an opinion on everything.
I can't for the life of me figure out why they would destroy that stuff.
I'm going with Fred Kirsch's theory that there was stuff out there that made the whole league look bad, other loan owners look bad, because Fred is selling that tune. Greg Easterbrook, who hates the Patriots, is selling that tune.
What could have been on a tape that said that?
I don't know. Maybe Matt Estrella, while taping, also goes over and tapes the guy on the other sideline with his camera pointed at the Patriots. I have no idea. But I'm just saying I have guys that I think are on opposite ends of the argument telling me the exact same reason for why the tapes were destroyed. That lends me to believe that's the reason the tapes were destroyed. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I guess, but I just don't know what benefit. I don't know. I don't know why you would want to not investigate it to the fullest extent rather than...
Because it's going to make the league look bad. It's bad eggs everywhere. You got cheating throughout. Every Super Bowl was cheating.
What do you think of Easterbrook's theory that every scandal will come out eventually?
I believe that.
And I believe it, too.
If it does come out,
it's
going to look worse.
Yeah. But I don't know how powerful the NFL is and how deep they run in squashing things.
And this
is like one of those thriller movies that would have somebody, you know, and all of a sudden people are dying who are just sort of like on the edges of the controversy because they're trying to cover it up. Your brakes go, you're going down the street one day and you pump your brakes.
There's a chance Kirsch could end up with a bullet in his head?
No question. Maybe that's where he is now. Maybe that's why he's not on the show. When you're talking about the NFL, is there any more power? I mean, that's one of the more powerful... That's a pretty big deal right now. They're trying to go global. They don't need any scandals pulling them back.
When I say they're going to look bad, they're going to look worse, I don't mean the Patriots. I mean the NFL. I think the NFL is going to look worse.
No, I know. I don't think they're in the business of looking worse.
Yeah, I just wanted to make that clear.
I think they do anything they can to not look worse.
Right.
Which could be bad news for anybody and anyone trying to do anything. Greg Easterbrook, look behind you when you're walking down the street. And in front of you. Both sides as well. Steve Moore checking in. Good old boys. Good old boys.
Steve Moore, the former Patriot?
No,
can't be him.
Does it? Oh, is he dead?
Yeah, I believe so.
Oh, Paul.
I actually didn't remember that until this is already said it.
Steve listening live in London. Good old boys, what do you think of the good versus evil angle to this Sunday's Colts versus Patriots game that was started on ESPN and has been picked up by everybody in the world despite the fact that they're not crediting ESPN? I added a little bit of that in. Newspapers, chat forums during the last few days. I naturally think the Patriots are the good guys. It's a pity this game is not taking place on Halloween because I would like to see Randy Moss as the stake being driven through the Colts' heart, or maybe a Gostkowski field goal watched by Adam Vinatieri will be the silver bullet that slays the Colts' beast. That brings me to my other question. This big game is great because all the subplots, but one subplot I have not heard at all this week is the Gostkowski versus Vinatieri matchup. Is Vinatieri on the downslope of his career? Is Gostkowski over his early season yips? No one expects this game to be decided by a field goal, but you never know. What are the odds on a Patriots overtime field goal win? What do you think?
Well, I'll give you the odds on if Vinatieri lines up for the game-winning field goal, 100%.
I think the question with Vinatieri is, does it go directly over the little bar that holds up the goalpost?
Yeah, the only thing is, last year he had, and admittedly it was not a game winner, but it was a game sealer here in Foxborough with the Colts up 7 and less than 2 minutes left, and he missed it. Would have made it 10.
The devil works in mysterious ways there, Paul.
This is true.
His return to Foxborough... I mean, you could almost see that. You could almost see the devil out there pushing that one.
Yeah, it was strange indeed.
If it's in a dome and Vinatieri's lining up for a 45-yarder to win the game, you got to think that kick is going to be good. You just have to. So
I agree.
I don't see that scenario playing out
at all, but if it did, I wouldn't be comfortable if I was a Patriot fan.
Due to the beauty of our emailers, St. Catharines is in Ontario, Canada, apparently, and not a tropical island. Gary does not go where it's cold, so he's never been there. This is Andy in Sioux City, Iowa. Hey, guys, after watching the AFC Championship game again the other night, I couldn't help but come to one major conclusion. Our wide receiving group sucked. Other than a few huge plays by Gaffney, they were never very open other than Riche, who couldn't catch a ball in that game. I also disagree about Hobbs in that game. He broke up two sure catches in the first half when they were thrown to Wayne and played pretty well in the second. The balls that went for big gains on that last Indy drive went to receivers being covered by Alexander and Sanders. Hobbs looked better in that game than what he has looked so far this year, in my opinion. Patriots easily made the biggest improvement of either team by putting Wes Welker, Moss, and Stallworth on the team. The Hawkeyes on that Colts team are two of the best players, Clark's and Sanders. If you remember the one time we beat the Colts in a close one, Clark broke his leg early, and that definitely impacted the game. Maybe Fred could do a Tonya Harding on Clark so he can't play. Pats will win easily, 42-24.
You're damn Skippy.
I believe Wayne had five or six receptions in the second half, and Hobbs was on him on every play, on every one.
And he also had a big pass interference that set up another touchdown in the second half that doesn't count in the stats. Even though, you know, it was a ticky-tack call, and it was a bad call, in my opinion, he was beaten on the play.
Right. And that said, I still agree with his sentiment that he played better in that game than he has this year.
Yeah, I would agree.
Because he's been terrible this year.
I would agree with that, but that's not necessarily.
Because at least that game he was matched up against Reggie Wayne and Peyton Manning.
I think Reggie Wayne, and Tom said this a long time ago, Reggie Wayne, I think, has passed Marvin Harrison. He's a tough matchup. Reggie Wayne's a good receiver.
I'm surprised because I was one of the people who thought Hobbs played a good game. Then I watched the game over again, and I realized once the Colts made adjustments in the second half, his game wasn't quite as good as I thought. So I would think watching that game over, your opinion would actually change, but that was what I came.
The numbers weren't great. Wayne, I think, only ended up with something like five or six catches in the game, and all but one or two of them were in the second half. I think he had two receptions in the first half, but I thought that he made big catches. He had two of those catches on the final drive, when the Colts won the game, ended up being the Adai touchdown run. And plus, you know, the pass interference that I talked about earlier, I just thought that Samuel completely blanketed Marvin Harrison. I don't think the same was true on the other side.
This isn't the worst game a cornerback's ever played. We're just saying we keep hearing Hobbs played good in that game. I don't know if I would say good. I would say okay.
And I also agree with Andy that I thought that the way he's played this year has certainly been a step down from that game.
Yeah.
I thought if he played all his games the way he did that game against Wayne, you know, against that caliber, you know, you probably wouldn't be complaining about Ellis Hobbs at all.
Right.
All right, we're going to go back to the phones for Lawrence, who's a Colts fan, claiming he bought us lunch for last year's AFC title game.
He did.
I don't buy it. I think he needs to send lunch again
if he wants to prove it.
Yeah, I'm in Oregon.
I kind of remember. You could suck up again
actually,
if you want.
Actually, my company's sending me to a meeting in Boston next week, so I'm going to be heading down there tonight so I can watch a game at my brother's house near the Cape. So.
Oh, nice. Cool.
So watch I'll be out for at Logan Airport with my Bob Sanders jersey on. So.
Nice. And you're going to get soaked in a hurricane tomorrow if you don't get shot first.
Yeah.
I got to straighten you guys out on a couple things.
Uh-oh.
All right. Straighten me
first
out.
First of all, Paul, you keep harping back on the Detroit game and Thanksgiving when Peyton Manning ran up the score.
I just thought that was one game where he threw six touchdown passes that he didn't really have to. That's all.
Yeah, but you know what? He threw the six touchdown pass with about 2 minutes left in the third quarter.
Well, I just think that they didn't need to be throwing the ball. That's all. But, you know, in fairness, let me say this about Indianapolis, and I talked about this yesterday, too, before I left. Indianapolis in 2004 was not in position to run up the score a lot of times. They didn't have a defense that was commensurate with the offense, so they could just sit there and get a couple of touchdowns and then run the ball and play Katie by the door. They didn't have that ability. I think the margin for victory in that year was 11 points. Patriots are winning their games by an average of 25.
Mm-hmm.
That's running up the score.
Yeah, and they were only eight. I think they were 8-3 at the time they played that Thanksgiving game. So they weren't, you know. They weren't killing everybody like the Patriots are.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, it was 34-9 at the time he threw that last touchdown. So, making it
41-9 to me was a little bit of running it up.
In the third quarter, you still got to play. I mean, you can't call up the dogs in the middle of the third quarter.
Yeah, but aren't you just trying to, like, run clock and get the game over with at that point?
Yeah. I think it was a 5-yard touchdown.
Okay.
Right.
What was Welker's seven?
This whole thing about Belichick is funny because even my brother, all the Patriots fans are the same. So
That's
this guy
true.
Coaches better when he's mad, I guess.
Well, he's always,
always mad.
Have you ever seen him happy?
Why he's a good coach.
I mean, he's been happy with us, ironically enough, the last couple of weeks. But he seems like he's always upset.
He lost two previous games to the Colts at home. So, you know, going into the AFC Championship game, wasn't he mad enough? I mean, he just lost two in a row to the Colts.
Oh, yeah. No,
he didn't have the talent.
But no one's saying he's going to win because he's mad.
Right.
I'm just saying after that game, he had a look of death on his face. That's the only point I was making. I don't think that if he didn't have any good players, I don't think
Tom,
they would
win. Tom,
that
look was duplicated today to Andy when he asked the question.
Right.
I agree with Tom. Sure.
So you guys think the defense is improved enough to not give up 32 points in the second half this time?
The defense has improved enough, and the offense has improved enough to put up more points with more ease.
And they are.
Aren't you worried about the Harrison thing? Like, you're a Colts fan. Are you comfortable with Gonzalez being in there?
Yeah, if you look back on the previous games with the Patriots, I think the two regular season games, both games had, I think on the second play of the game, a bomb to Harrison that was complete, and both games had him catching passes, you know, on the fade pattern or that stab catch he made. So yeah, he's come up big in the last couple games against the Patriots in the regular season. The playoff game, maybe not as much. But
he hasn't been that great statistically, but I think his presence.
Yeah.
You know, Tom brought that up. You know, now you're asking all these other guys to step into roles that they aren't as familiar with.
Oh.
They've been playing a lot more ball control, and I don't think the game's going to get up into the 40s.
So, bottom line, what's your prediction, Lawrence?
I'm gonna go Colts 28, Patriots 24.
All right, Colts win according to Lawrence. He's a former lunch buyer. Peace out.
Watch for the Dallas Clark end around.
Okay. If they're running Dallas Clark's ends around, I'll be happy.
I like the Patriots' chance
because I think the Patriots are dumb when they're running tight ends around.
Thanks, Lawrence.
See you, Larry.
Thanks, Lawrence. Hello, Larry.
The one thing I'll say about running up the score is from a gambler's perspective, there's been games I've bet where a team's been up, like, say, 38-3 at the half, and I need, like, say, the over, and I might need two touchdowns, and they've completely shut it down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's a difference between shutting it down and not shutting it down. And there's teams in the league who, if they're up by 35 points at the half, all they want to do is get the heck out of there. That's it.
Right.
And they totally shut it down. They punt, and they just get out. So there is a difference to that.
Right. I think we've got to the bottom of something. Henry in Norway is one of my few and only fans, and I think I've realized why. I don't know if I've ever read his last name before. It's Hartson. I think he just thinks we have the same last name or close enough, and that's why he likes me. That's unfortunate. He wants to talk about
the same name, you know.
Hartson?
He's in Norway?
Yeah.
So that's like Scandinavian. That's... Son is son of heart. Hartson, that's where his name is
what you did
derived from.
Jack's son?
I didn't do it. That's
so Jack's son is the son
what
of
it
Jack?
Is.
Hey, guys. I was watching the NFL Network last night. Rod Woodson and Marshall Faulk with breaking down the offenses of the Patriots and Colts. Faulk gave an edge to the Colts on everything. The offensive line, my opinion, Pats. Tight end, Clark, agree. Wide receivers, by far Patriots. Running back, agree. Quarterback.
By far?
There's no way it's by far, but if Harrison's injured...
If Harrison was healthy, you can't say by far.
Well, no, but if Harrison doesn't play, then I think by far
that's different.
Accurate.
No, if Moss doesn't play, then by far it's the Colts. I mean, you can't...
The difference being, I don't know that there's any question Moss will play.
No, but I mean, we're not talking about tomorrow. We're talking about in general.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't see it, so I don't really know.
Oh, this wasn't your editorial?
What are you talking about? I'm reading the email.
Oh, I thought yours. I thought when you were adding in the.
I don't editorialize emails.
My bad, Andy. Hey,
no, you're yelling at Hank.
That's my bad.
You're yelling at the other heart.
That's my bad,
son. Quarterback. Well, I was seriously. I don't know what well means. I was seriously laughing when watching the show. It was so clear that Faulk got something against the Pats. So is Faulk a homer, or does he actually hate the Patriots? He always got something bad to say about the Patriots. What do you guys think?
Well, he doesn't like them. I mean, I've seen him on the NFL Network, and as much as I hate to agree with the fans that everyone's out to make the Patriots look bad, Faulk is, I think, one of the few guys who literally does not like them, because I've never seen him say anything nice about the Patriots either. It's basically, if they win, it's always, like, he always talks about the Super Bowl, how it was their fault, they didn't do anything, and maybe that might be true, but shut up.
Right.
You know, just so.
Well, it's the cry of the loser. It's like complaining about having the score run up on you. You can't win that battle. You sound like a baby.
Right.
And when you lose the game, I think that you can objectively look at the Super Bowl and say, well, maybe it was this and maybe it was that. But if you're on the losing team and you're saying it was because we played, you sound like a baby.
Right. Next up, we've got a Woody in Maine. The volume in the podcast is way louder this week. I don't know what that means. Is that good or bad?
That's good. I mean, Chris Ferreira did what you said. He changed something and pretended that it was like that the whole time when Fred checked.
In my defense, I haven't done anything different, so.
In my defense, Gary is still playing solitaire and has not touched a volume control yet.
It's Chris Ferreira. Andy hit it on the head. He changed what was wrong, and then when Fred checked it, it was right.
Right. Vrabel busts Manning's arm in the first quarter. Pats win 52-10. After going 19-0, BB grabs his crotch and flips off the entire league. Could happen. 52-10 could happen. I'd be a little surprised, but how do I tell what email I'm on? You guys want to talk about that, this guy predicting injuries? Paul, you're usually somewhat opposed to that.
I mean, I think he's kind of being a little funny. I don't think he's being literal. It's not Fred.
Yeah, I was going to say, if it was Fred, you would have jumped down his throat.
Well, because Fred really wants it. I'm giving this guy the benefit of the doubt.
Brian Zakowski in Colorado. Do the Patriots have to make their decision regarding the playing status of Chad Jackson before next weekend's game? Are the choices IR and 53-man roster? Which way do you think they'll go?
Why
is this thing moving on its own?
That's next week, right?
Yeah.
That ends the three-week window. Next Tuesday would end the three-week window.
Tuesday at 4, I believe.
They have to make a decision as to what to do with them.
So, Gary, what the hell are you doing back there?
He deletes them when you're done reading.
Oh. Because I keep turning back here, and I'm not on the email that I was on before.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out if you've ever hosted the show before.
Not with this idiot screwing me up behind the glass. Since football no longer interests you, Ethan wants to know, how those Revs doing? Well, they haven't scored yet. And they have played an entire game.
The Revs?
Revolution?
Yeah, but who cares about the Revs?
Well, I think it was a reference to the fact that we had worked our way down. Red Sox, Blue Jays, Celtics, Bruins.
I'm interested in watching that second leg.
And by the way, we're in the building they play. Who cares about the Revs? Just shots left and right.
I'm just saying.
I agree with you. Who cares about the Revs? See, that one I had to delete on my own. Clint wants to know about Andy Reid. Hey, guys. Sal Palantonio, speaking of DBs, reported that Andy Reid's kids were taking steroids as young athletes. What do you think of this? If it was easy to access to his kids, maybe it was easy access for the players. Wonder what the Eagles players think of that. Maybe they shouldn't have been in the Super Bowl where the cheating Pats could beat them. Just kidding. Don't throw stones. Clinton Omaha, you better just be kidding. That is a growing scandal.
This Andy Reid thing's pretty big.
I think he's going to lose his job.
Yeah, it looks like he's done in Philadelphia, so that's an interesting. That thing really took a turn where the judge really came down on
him. Can you imagine how bad it must have been? This is a very public figure in Philadelphia. Yeah, well, I mean, he's a public figure everywhere, but in Philadelphia. And he's had some success there. I mean, let's face it, it's not like he's Rich Kotite in Philadelphia. The guy's had some success. And for him to come out, the judge to come out that strongly against Reid and calling him every name that you can call a parent in the book. I mean, talk about negligence, calling it a drug-infested home. I think he said that the children weren't capable of living on their own. They clearly lack any supervision, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I think this is just the beginning for Andy Reid, and it's not going to end well at all.
And one of the dumbest quotes I've ever heard yesterday by Michael Smith, well, the Eagles are a 90-yard drive, a muffed punt, and a bad penalty away from being 5-2. Well, who isn't? You know what I mean? Like, come on. You could look at pretty much any team in the league and say, if this, Dick Geron yelling, me too. If this didn't happen, they would have three more wins.
Sounds like Belichick after the Miami game. If they had another defensive touchdown and an onside kick,
they might have it tied up. Eric Scalavino emails in some weird green font that he has to use.
Why does he have that?
I don't know.
Because he's the artsy type. And you know what by artsy type.
How do you even get it? Like, he's got a different font and a different color. How do you even get that?
There's ways to do it, but it takes a lot more work than it really is necessary. He just wanted to make sure we got the message. No Watson. Wilson and Mitchell returned. And for Perillo's sake, practice was supposed to be outside, but last second changed in the bubble. He knows how much you enjoy those updates on where practice is.
We can now all breathe a little easier knowing where they actually practice today.
Today, Friday?
Today is Friday.
That's correct.
Thursday.
No. Thank God.
I don't think that's ever happened to me once in my life. That I thought it was a day earlier than
usually
it was.
Thursday. I think it's Friday.
Yeah, it's not Saturday.
Especially when I wear jeans. Confused the hell out of myself. QB is the subject. Hello, Fred, Paul, Andy, Tom, and Gary from Bogota. Who's Gary from Bogota? What was the opinion of both Steve Young and Troy Aikman when they were playing? What?
Who's Gary from Bogota?
What was the opinion?
They both were first ballot Hall of Famers, but the word overrated appears quite often when talking about, what was the general perception of those two guys when they were playing, and then they ended up as first ballot Hall of Famers, but people call them overrated?
Well, I don't know if people call them overrated. I know I do, but I don't think I'm necessarily the most unbiased.
No question about that.
There wasn't much criticism of Aikman other than he didn't put up big stats.
Right.
And I don't think he was in the system to do so, because the Cowboys would like to jump on you early and then run Emmitt Smith, kind of the opposite of what the Patriots do. But that's the only time I would say Aikman was overrated, as I've heard people say that he's one of the top three quarterbacks of all time. There's a couple people on ESPN very adamant about that, the Aikman. I don't think he's that high up. I think he was a very, very good quarterback, made for the system he was in. I don't think he's a Brett Favre, John Elway type where he could have went anywhere. I think he's a guy that if he had gotten drafted somewhere else, maybe his career wouldn't have came out that way.
But he probably would have had bigger numbers if he didn't have Emmitt Smith to hand
right
off to all the time,
but
right?
But I'm just saying, that was a perfect system for him, because he threw that middle pass 15, 20 yards as good as anybody I've ever seen. I mean, as accurate as anybody. Steve Young, I think he gets criticized. I know Paul doesn't like him, and I think he's a tad overrated myself, but I think he gets criticized more because he took over such a great offense,
right?
And you never know, like, when he was playing on other teams, he stomped.
I was going to say that the difference to me, and I think they're both very good players. Let me, you know, when I say they're overrated, that doesn't mean that they have no talent and don't belong on the field. But I think the difference with Young is we have the empirical evidence of what happens when he's not on that offense, and it's not very good with two other teams, one in the USFL and one in the NFL.
Oh, he stunk in the USFL too?
Yes. And
so would Bo have been his running back if they could have drafted and signed Bo in Tampa?
Oh, I don't know.
I
think that
franchise
would have been Testaverde, right?
But the other part of it, you know, and Tom, I think you'll be able to speak better to this. I agree with everything you just said about Aikman and his abilities. I kind of compare him a little bit to Phil Sims. You know, I think that he is kind of he was a great quarterback for the system that he was in. I think he was an extremely accurate passer. Mm-hmm. The way you said it was, I couldn't agree with you more. But I'm wondering how much he had to do with that team's success, as opposed to, you know, any quarterback with a modicum of talent and ability to manage a game could have had similar success. Whereas I'm not sure if, like you said, if he got drafted somewhere else, if we're talking about Troy Aikman the way that people are. Now, I think that he's a very good quarterback. I'm not saying he doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame. He does. But I'm just wondering if maybe there is a tad of overratedness there.
Well, quick Troy Aikman question. He went to Oklahoma, right?
Yeah.
To run the option?
Yeah.
So was he more athletic than I remember him in my mind?
He was really athletic, but he broke his leg at Oklahoma.
Okay, that's the answer I wanted.
The thing I'll say about Aikman is this. In those playoff games, they never started out running the football. They always started out throwing, and he would always be 12 for 12.
Right.
So,
a little like Roethlisberger.
Yeah. So and the other thing about the Cowboys is whenever they had to score, like the Patriots this year, they could score. If you got back in the game on them, Aikman could lead you back down. Like I said, I don't think he was a Brett Favre, John Elway, Dan Marino type. But I think he was a very good I just think he gets you can use the moniker overrated because, like I said, some of the guys on ESPN, I forgot who, someone loves him on
ESPN. Sure, it wasn't like one of the Dallas guys talking
about him? No, it's like Jaworski or somebody says because he has the rings and what he's done, he'd put him in the top three
all
time.
Whoa.
Now, to me, that's stretching it. But, he was a very – I would say I'd have to put him a notch higher than Sims, but it's hard to say because a lot of people think Sims was held back in Parcells' offense, and I know even Sims himself had problems with Parcells because he wasn't allowed to throw the ball. So if you put Sims on a team that threw more, perhaps his numbers would have.
And like Andy said,
better.
If Aikman had the opportunity maybe to be a little bit more in a pass-oriented team, mm-hmm. and not have to rely on Emmitt Smith so much, and you know, you're milking clock a lot with the lead and you're just handing the ball off. Maybe he would have had bigger numbers too. And I certainly would put Aikman at a higher level than Steve Young. And I know statistically that doesn't make any sense.
Weird,
but
because you look
Aikman is a far, far superior
quarterback. You look at all the record books and Steve Young is all over him. It's weird. The only other thing about Aikman is he only played with one receiver. Alvin Harper's, when people think back about him, he's the most overrated player in the history of football. But it's weird. Whenever you look at, like, go back in those record books, all of this young.
Yeah, he's got great numbers. I just think that he did that. I think Steve Young was like one of those safe guys. He was always in that offense. He wasn't throwing the ball and, you know, making plays downfield because he didn't have to.
Yeah, he threw a lot of short passes.
You know, and the completion percentage is up. All the things that the rating is big on is, you know, the ball was very rarely hitting the ground. No interceptions. You know, they had a high-scoring team because they had the best offense and they had the best weapons with, you know, with Craig and Waters later than that and obviously Rice and those guys. They were unstoppable.
Yes.
I mean, you know, he didn't do any better than Montana.
Steve Young, I think, is a guy, if you were in a bar arguing and one person just looked at numbers and records, he would argue Steve Young was phenomenal.
Yeah, you could lights out with a number.
Right, and someone else who actually saw him play with their eyes could argue opposite that.
Yeah, that's how I feel. But, you know, I'm definitely in the minority, and I certainly have taken my share of criticism for my views. But I just think Montana was 1,000 times better.
I don't think there's any competition there.
And I look at the amount of winning done, even despite all of that wonderful talent, he won one time.
Yep.
Once. All right, Gary, that's going to do it for the first hour of PFW in Progress. We'll be back for another action-packed hour, maybe some Felger, maybe some player interviews, all next hour, PFW in Progress.
Whether it's football, Irish drunks, or vacuums, Andy Hart lays down the law.
Isn't he awesome, you guys? Dude, he just goes around imposing his will on people. He's my idol.
Patriots.com Radio.
Playoff action is back in Foxborough. Once again, your New England Revolution have advanced to the MLS playoffs and are looking for a return trip to MLS Cup.
Drives it for him, and the goal! 1-0 Revs! What a huge tally for New England!
Saturday, November 3rd at 7:30 p.m., Taylor Twellman, Pat Noonan, Matt Reese, and the rest of the Revs take to the field in Foxborough, and they want you there to cheer them on to victory.
Takes a touch, and buries it! 1-0 Revs! The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Individual tickets start at just $18, and significant discounts are available for groups of 20 or more. Bring your family or group, and don't miss a minute of this exciting playoff match at Gillette Stadium. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS. That's 1-877-GET-REVS to get your playoff ticks.
Get your kicks.
And get the Revolution.
The Revolution.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything! Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack-A-Tack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack-A-Tack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
We can't wait for Sunday either here at Patriots.com Radio and PFW in Progress. Looking forward to what's being billed as the game of the century, although I think we all...
Hey, this is the song Paul was shaking his big butt to on my wedding video.
I bet his teats were shaking, too.
Wasn't doing the YMCA dance, that's all.
Yeah, apparently there's quite a video out there that involves Paul Perillo, Gary Gadecki, Fred Kirsch, Tom Casale, Andy when he wasn't pooping.
I hope. It did not involve Paul Perillo.
It involves Paul Perillo a little
YMCA?
Bit. No, not YMCA.
No, the whole video. I said the video.
Yeah, so Gary Gradecki will now be owned by Andy Hart as soon as he sees what I have. The footage of Gary jumping out at the end of the YMCA, doing an unmanly YMCA in front of the camera. The last thing the photographer shot all night.
Gary, I think we need a PFW in Progress website.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Where we can post
I did that night.
Videos and pictures and all these different things. You're part of the show.
I'm not part of the website, though.
Yeah, well, you will be if we ever get one. I'll make sure of it. If I knew somebody who could make a website, and yes, I know you're here, Chris Wheeler. I mean, Chris Ferrer, I don't think you can make one.
Yeah, the fans would
not
love,
one that works.
The fans would love to see this. We got Fred Kirsch air humping to Meatloaf. There's a lot of good stuff on that one. not too much Andy Hart. The videographer never went into the stalls of the bathroom.
I was pooping, and I did not have Gridiron Grillers. It was something else, apparently. I think it was the second chicken. When I took Maura O'Brien's extra slice of whatever the chicken was, I think it put me over the top.
Well, it went in as a hot dog and came out as orange fire water.
I played a lot of video games on my cell phone in that stall. Hello, guys. It's Louie from Tampa. Last Thursday, during the pick segment, Andy confessed he made his choices knowing nothing about the teams because he didn't watch any non-Patriots games. Be careful, Fred. Looks like Andy is ready for ESPN. Seriously, I think Andy is the smartest one of the bunch. I agree. That's tremendous. He seems to like acting like a jerk, not an act, and that he's a poor man's Tom Casale. I don't know what that means. I started out as the smartest in that sentence. Now I'm a poor man's Tom Casale. What the hell's going on around here?
That certainly doesn't make you the smartest.
Who has the edge in coaching in this upcoming game? Patriots. Bill Belichick.
Patriots.
Tony Dungy is a good coach. I like Tony Dungy, but Bill Belichick's a machine, a computer. Yeah. He's four steps ahead of every call, every everything. The only thing he's not ready for is the Colts going for two when they're running up the score.
The only thing I'll say about Dungy is you really don't see stuff when you're watching a game that says, like, I don't think coaching's ever really a factor for the coach, for the Colts, because you don't see something where you say, boy, that was a stupid.
Right. But I think he's a good, normal coach.
Yes, and
Bill
Belichick
is like historic, machine-like computer.
I think that's accurate. I think Bill is a step above. He's the guy that you're going to look
Dungy's
back on.
Dungy's the Troy Aikman, and Bill's the Joe Montana or whatever.
The only thing I'll say about Dungy is at least he did it in two places. Mm-hmm. He had very,
wow.
You know, I don't want to.
You're calling out Bill?
No. You said the Troy Aikman.
Oh.
And I said, you know, I think that.
I thought that was a shot at Bill. Dungy
built
it in two places.
Dungy built it in two programs, in my opinion, even though he didn't win it all.
Hall of Fame coach?
In Tampa Bay. He may be, but Belichick is a lock, you know, a complete lock for the Hall of Fame. Yeah, I just think that he's, the way you put it, Andy, he's historic. He's
right.
A historic coach, and I don't know if Dungy will be looked upon.
So historic that the 26-time world champion New York Yankees are hoping that Joe Girardi is like Belichick in that he had his first run in Miami, didn't work, had problems with the owner and all that. He hopes that Girardi can make the Yankees like the Patriots. What has this world really turned upside down to? Now the model dynasty is the Patriots, and we forget that the Yankees win one out of every 4 years in history?
Didn't he take a team with no talent, and did they finish with a winning record or something?
Just below .500. I think he won like 78 games, maybe. But he was in it till the end of the year. They were, as you would say, snooping around the chicken coop or whatever, and then just got into a fight with the owner, and the owner said, I want him out. This is my team. Now, the irony of all ironies, now working for the Yankees, where if you get into a fight with an owner, you could be out any day now. But Jason Hamilton checking in, and he's subject line, see you next Tuesday. See you next Tuesday, too, Fred. I'm in Japan, and I know what day it is in Eastern Standard Time. Is Fred ever useless? Since Tom wasn't brave enough to read the rest of my email last week, I had to come in early this week. Failing at that, I have to wonder at your recent popularity. You had time to read my emails up until this week. Well, they come in fast and furious. I can't keep up. They
you
come in at the top. Gary's deleting them, so I get confused as to which one I'm on. There's all phone calls from all over the world.
If he had said something interesting, I would have read it.
We'll see if he does. I'm going to keep reading. So happy to hear of Tom being self-deprecating. Oh, that Tom. No, that's just being disingenuous. That's in reference to Brady's comments earlier in the week that basically he can't hold a candle to anything Manning does. His arm is stronger. He's more accurate. He's smarter. He's this. He's that. All that. You know, a bunch of poo-poo. Mr. Useless was correct. I live in Chiba, Japan. Actually, the city of Funabashi in Chiba Prefecture. I don't even know what that means. If your map is that detailed, Gary, read if you care that much. Same Jason as 2 weeks ago. Okay. Gary, did you put a pin in Chiba?
We didn't have two different guys from Chiba?
We're not that big in Chiba. Chiba's
well, I didn't read
big.
His email then if he was from Chiba.
No, that was Fred who read it. I'm worried about Ellis Hobbs and our secondary. Of course, I haven't seen anything that isn't in the highlight reel since I live in no football land. Still picking the Pats. That's like me making picks for NFL games. I ain't seen nothing, but I'm taking this team. Still picking the Pats. Something like 38-31. But I wonder if I'm even going to be able to watch it. With all these videos about Peyton and Tom on NFL.com, I realized why Peyton Manning looks so goofy. His face is completely flat. Saw him in profile one of those interviews, and I couldn't believe it. His chin is actually recessed into his neck. You've got to give credit to a guy like that, knowing his only rival is so pretty and still appearing on TV without a face mask. Give the rest of us, read you, hope. Well, first of all, he's damn funny. Peyton Manning is good in those commercials. He acts. He can deliver a line. He's good. He's a better actor than Tom Brady, and Tom Brady was being genuine when he said that. I agree with Tom.
What's up, baby?
He's funny. Stop talking about running up the score. Not trying to offend anyone, but we're just a good little team. That's a good little team. A good little team who has a chance to go 16-0. Leave the semantic arguments, all of them, to Philosophy 101 classrooms. Once again, all in fun. Keep up the good work. You've certainly earned lunch from me once I'm back in America to buy it for you. Jason in Chiba. Well, that's a quality ending to that email. I don't know when you're returning from Chiba. I don't know why you'd be in Chiba anyway. Stripper says, I love you guys. Enjoy the new sights. Heading to the gym. Have a great show. No hard feelings. We didn't have any hard feelings. Oh, you've seen lots of hard feelings in your job, though. Hey, now. Ken from Canton. Paul and the rest. Why Paul and the rest? That's it. Delete. Not reading your stupid email. Chelsea checking in. Tom, you going to be okay?
Oh, yeah. Cali girl.
Hey, guys. Just a quick comment. I was reading the LA Times yesterday, and there was BB on the front page of the sports section. Anyways, the story was about Merriweather and his comment on Wes Welker and then BB's pound down on Merriweather. After reading the quote out loud from the Boston Herald, he says, how the bleep would Brandon Merriweather know? You don't know anything, so shut the bleep up.
But how did that get out? I didn't read that. Did you read it?
I no.
I mean,
Gary, can you go to yesterday's Los Angeles Times?
We knew about that story, but I didn't know it was public.
Right. Wow. Is that a major serving of humble pie and boring is better / silence is golden from BB himself? I bet he won't be saying anything the rest of the season. Yeah, Gary, can you try to find that story? P.S. I wanted to call, but I don't want Gary to blow me up. I would be so sad. Well, Tom would be so, so happy.
Yeah, give us a call.
Barely be able to contain himself, if you know what I'm saying.
What's the story that was out
about
that we knew about?
Merriweather and Welker when he said he's the best slot receiver and Belichick said, how in the bleep would you know?
Oh, that was out there.
Oh, it was?
I've read that
okay.
There. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Actually, Tomasi wrote it, I think, a few weeks ago.
So who did Bill say, how in the bleep would you know? To?
He's to Merriweather.
To Merriweather.
Merriweather called Welker. This was in training camp.
No, I know, but how did the whole story get out there?
I believe Merriweather told the story to Albert Breer.
Breer. It was Breer. And he said...
Because Breer wrote the story that Merriweather said Welker is the best slot receiver in the league. And then Merriweather told Breer later, I can't talk. I got in trouble. And he told him the story. And Tomasi,
remember that too?
Tomasi wrote the story a couple of weeks ago on a Sunday about some of the things that Belichick does in the locker room. That was one of the stories he wrote. Okay.
No, Tomasi basically said, well, Breer's not here anymore. I can use that stuff.
And Merriweather got a second. Shut the... Merriweather can't be happy with that situation, the way that played out. He should really just learn to bleep up. This is Lee again. I'm not saying Tom wasn't good at Michigan. He was. I said he lost his job at UM because he wasn't physically gifted. Isn't that true? And I didn't say Peyton wasn't smart. He just isn't as great mentally as Brady. I don't mean to sell either guy short. They are both great. They're both Hall of Famer.
I don't think that he lost his job because of a lack of physical skills.
No.
I think it was because they thought Drew Henson was something special.
Well, he lost his job because of politics.
Yeah.
Because of politics, and part of the politics was Drew Henson was supposed to be like the golden gun kind of thing.
But that's what I'm saying. Like Tom said, he was supposed to be this special.
Right, but part of it was his arm, that Brady didn't have the arm. This guy had this special arm.
I think it was as much of his running ability as anything else.
But it did have sort of off to the edges. It had to do with physical, but it was more what the other guy had than what Brady didn't have.
Yeah, it was the argument at the time was you could go with Brady, who's the safer option, but he gets you to this level where Drew Henson could be that special player
Drew Henson ain't been special at anything, football, anything.
But from a pure physical standpoint in college, Drew Henson may have had the better physical tools. Mm-hmm. Now, I think Brady's physical tools have improved immensely as a pro. From that skinny kid that we saw come in here in 2000, I mean, there's no comparison.
WebRadioPatriots.com, WebRadioPatriots.com, 508-543-7482 if you want to call. Quiet second hour here. No phone calls, no Craig. He must be mad at Gary for getting blown up, or I don't know what's going on.
Now he's openly soliciting calls.
I would like a new caller. No, I don't want Craig. Sorry, Craig, I don't want you right now. I want a new caller. If you've never called the show before and you'd like to call in and give us your opinion on this Patriots-Colts matchup, Brady Manning, anything you got, tell us that you want to buy us lunch, whatever it may be. Give us a call, 508-543-7482, and Gary will answer with his usual cheery, sunny, hello, guys, because apparently on the video he's not quite manly. Lawrence Pina checking in. Subject, Brady still loves throwing to the Wolverines. You guys are right about Brady's success throwing to Michigan Wolverines. The last two games against the Colts ended with completions, quote-unquote, to Cato June and Marlon Jackson. Go, Tom. "Quote unquote terrific." That sounds like a Colts fan with the tone of that email.
That's Lawrence. He called.
Oh, Larry, what's up? Long time no email. How are you? Sam in Pittsburgh up next. Subject: coverages. Hey guys, I just heard that Tony Dungy said that Marvin Harrison is doubtful for the game. If he doesn't play, Samuel would more often than not cover Reggie Wayne. But would the struggling Hobbs cover Gonzalez/Moorhead, or would they line him up against Dallas Clark when he plays the slot? Also, if the San Fran pick turns into a top 10 pick, who would you take if Laurinaitis, that other, the M guy?
Malayuga.
If they don't enter early.
If they don't enter early? I don't know who's the best senior.
There's a lot of good linebackers coming out. There's the guy from Vanderbilt, Goff, and Brinkley from South Carolina, but he was injured now.
Jasper or Casper?
Jasper is the one who's injured. Yeah. Casper is the one that's playing. But we have to do our draft work and everything. It's too early for
and
that.
And I also think that that whole thing about the linebackers, I think, would be – I'd be a lot more confident the Patriots would be targeting one of those if they had the underclassmen to pick from.
Right. Well, ask and you shall receive. John in L.A. joining us on the phone. John, first-time caller, I hope.
I am indeed a first-time caller, but a frequent emailer.
Oh, good. John in L.A., the emailer. Yeah. Okay, so what's going on?
Well, I wanted to heed your plea to have a new caller. But also, I was just listening to Colin Cowherd, and he had just had Eddie George and Eric Dickerson on, who are both loudly proclaiming the Colts' superiority. And it's just amazing. It's sort of amazing to me that you guys don't think it's going to be a little bit of a blowout for the Patriots.
Well, I think
because if you look at the Colts' schedule in terms of the offenses they've played, it's no wonder their defense looks all powerful.
Well, no one thinks their defense is going to shut down the Patriots.
No, and I'm not looking at the schedule in any way. I look at the matchups, and I think, as I've said all along, I think the reason the Patriots will win pretty easily is because I think their offense versus the Colts defense is a better matchup, and I think their defense compared to, you know, the Colts offense is a closer matchup. So I think they win those battles.
Yeah, and if you take, you know, I thought the game was going to be close the whole way, but you take Harrison out of the equation, I thought the Colts were the one team that could score with the Patriots if need be. But now I saw them play last week without Harrison against Carolina, and the offense did not look like the Colts' offense to me. And if they play offense like that, they'll get blown right out of the building.
Which one of you thinks it's going to be closest, and what score or like what differential do you think it'll be?
That's probably me, right?
I had
probably,
but
I definitely, and I think Tom is absolutely right. I think the Harrison injury to me changes the complexion a little bit. I originally thought it would be like a 41-34 kind of game. I'm thinking it's going to be a more of a two touchdown game now because of what Tom said. So. I just don't think that the Colts can match score for score, whereas I gave them every opportunity to do that if their offense was operating at 100% efficiency. But I just don't understand why it's a personal affront for anybody that thinks the Colts can be competitive in this game. They're playing at home. They're undefeated. They've been almost as impressive statistically as the Patriots. I don't know why it's a personal affront to everybody.
I don't know why you think it's a personal affront.
Well, I mean...
Yeah, I don't really either.
you just mentioned that two guys picked the Colts and you were laughing at them.
Well, I'm laughing at them because those guys, Eric Dickerson and Eddie George, are two of the dumbest, most consistently wrong prognosticators around.
Okay, I didn't know they were in the business of prognosticating. I don't know.
That told me, oh, the Patriots will definitely win now.
Well, I think the Patriots will definitely win because I think Andy hit the nail on the head. I think the difference between the Patriots offense and the Colts defense is bigger than the difference between the Colts offense and the Patriots defense, and I think that gives them an edge.
And why is Brian Lowe never on your show?
Because he stinks.
He doesn't work with us anymore.
He doesn't work with us. We don't like him, and he stinks. Tom said it well.
What is the, like, when did that tension happen?
There's no tension.
Like,
no,
is he a jerk?
No, not at all. No tension.
No, I didn't say no.
He just doesn't seem like anybody who could possibly afford to be a jerk to anyone because he's such a dork.
Yeah, well said. I like the way you put that.
Yeah, no, he's not a jerk.
Bilo's a good guy.
He just stinks.
Bilo's a good guy. He just doesn't, he doesn't work under the Patriots Football Weekly umbrella anymore.
Plus, he does not play well in the environment we create here at PFW and Progress, which includes, you know, back and forth, making fun of each other, having strong opinions. He doesn't deal well with all of that.
He has too many targets.
Yeah, you know, John, you know how, like, Andy likes to call me fat all the time Andy makes fun of Tom, you know.
I've always wanted to do this. Turn down your internet. I can hear some feedback back there.
No one... Bilo doesn't take kindly to that kind of stuff. Whereas we just kind of rag on each other and we laugh about it, and no one's mad at each other at the end of the show. I don't think that was a good environment for Bilo.
Although Bilo won't take too kindly to that video I got of him as a fireman in YMCA, I can tell you that.
All right, well, guys, thanks for constant, like, you distract me from my career. I'm sure I would be.
How's that screen? Hey, how's that screenplay coming? You got it written yet or what?
Yeah, no, I just finished it about a month ago, just in time for the writer's strike to happen, so nobody's buying anything.
Wait, you're a screenwriter?
Yes.
Yeah.
What do you think about going into business here, you and me? I got an idea.
The
Bill Belichick's...
You can tell me your idea, but go ahead.
The Bill Belichick stealing from My Name is Earl. After his post-football career, he goes back and he's fixing all the, mending all the fences he ruined. And he has Ernie Adams. I don't know if you know who Ernie Adams is.
He's a guy. I read The Education of a Coach.
Well, then he'd be the sidekick, sort of like Highway to Heaven, where they drive around to the country and they just help people out. What do you think?
So he's only stealing two TV show ideas.
I think it's a great idea. I actually had a meeting with the people who did, like, Miracle and The Rookie and stuff about some other project a couple of years ago. And I went back and I was like, and I just started writing down all of the sort of story points of the 2001 Patriots.
Yep.
With Rabine and Terry Glenn being the most talented guy on the team, and he's benched for the good of the team, and everything with the Bledsoe and the Brady and Bledsoe coming back in Pittsburgh, and I was like, you know, this is a really good sports story. I mean, not yet, because time has to pass, but there's so many good story points to that. I mean, more than in The Rookie, maybe not more than Miracle, but I think that could be a great movie sometime.
So are you going to write it?
Well, I sure as hell better.
All right, well, I'll look forward to that. About 15 years from now, if I see that movie coming out, I'm going to say, hey, John from L.A. checking in.
No, you'll know, because once I sell a movie, you guys will be getting Papageno's at least once, if not twice.
I'd rather put me in the movie. Put me in the movie. I want a love scene with Jessica Alba.
I just want a cameo, like, walking by, like, in the background.
I want to have, what do they call that, fake sex with Jessica Alba in a movie. Does she do that?
I don't know. I actually read something somewhere the other day that she apparently has come out and said she will never do a nude scene.
I'll pick somebody else, though.
That's quite unfortunate.
That's bad. All right, well, thanks for everything, guys. And Gary rocks, and thank you for not blowing me up, and now you can blow me up.
All right, see you, John.
Thanks, John.
Good call.
Yeah, he didn't seem lukewarm about your TV
idea. He listened to my idea and then skipped right past it to tell me his. Forget you, John. Sooner or later, I'll sell that to somebody, and you'll be sorry you passed up on it.
I say you come up with it, you go to an interview, and they say, isn't this a cross of highway to heaven? And
isn't that what all movies and TV are? They steal from each other all the time. There's not a creative idea out there.
But you're taking the exact same storyline of My Name is Earl.
I'll tweak it. That's where the screenwriter comes in. He needs to read some My Name is Earls and just change enough stuff. Dan in Charlottesville, Virginia. Hey, guys. I want to talk about yesterday's picks. I wasn't really paying attention yesterday while you're making your picks. Good. Neither were we. And I missed what your analysis was for one of the games. What do you like in the Tampa versus Atlanta game on Sunday, and why? I wish you would have given more time to this matchup. See what he did there?
Yeah. I caught that.
Okay, this guy wants to talk about the X Factor. Can somebody talk about special teams, damn it?
Huge edge for the Patriots.
The X Factor.
Absolutely enormous edge.
Whenever the Patriots play the Colts, the most common factor in each game is that the New England special teams owns Indies, even in the games lost against Indy. The 2005 regular season game is the only game I can think of where this wasn't the case. In the AFC Championship, Ellis Hobbs ate up a chunk of yards in his returns, which made it a lot easier for the Pats to score in the second half of the AFC Championship. During the regular season, Indy special teams made Lawrence Maroney look like an all-star return man last year. In the 2003... they managed to make Bethel Johnson look talented. Oh, that was a little shot at Bethel Johnson. He was a pretty good returner.
You know, that's all absolutely true about the Patriots, but in fairness to Indy, they make a lot of people look like all-stars in the return game. They have terrible special teams.
Unless the Colts can either manage to stop the Patriots' offense or significantly improve their defense in the kicking game, the Colts will struggle to keep up with the Patriots' scoring. This gives the Patriots a significant edge in two phases of the game. Therefore, I'm predicting a 42-24 victory over the Colts. That's becoming a popular score.
A lot of 40-something to 20-somethings.
What's that called? That's one of those, like Hannah? It's the same front and backwards?
Palindrome?
Palindrome. P.S. Jake Steele skipped over this email twice in the last few days he was reading the emails. I can't stand fat, cork-soaking, peckerwood bitches. That was just for fun. We all love Jake. Nah, we don't need him. We do fine without him. Have you noticed? Since I've taken over a little bit of his persona in this chair, I'm dumb. I can't read.
I think we need him.
We got another guy offering. This is Sean Quinlan, and he is offering to set up a PFW in Progress website if we'd like, sort of an unofficial page so it's not totally tied into Patriots.com in any way. We can go on there. We can rant. We can have blogs, wiki, whatever you guys want.
Fred would be all for that.
Well, I don't know. Maybe we need an outlet. But the bad Fred, he could go there and say, you know, the P word and some of the other words he uses on this show that make Gary uncomfortable. Lawrence, just a regular emailer. Colts schedule has been easy, double question mark. Let's not even compare schedules, Pats fans. The Colts haven't played a team with a losing record at the time of the game all year. I'll trade you Jets, Bills, Dolphins for Titans, Jags, Texans any day.
On the road.
Okay, now...
why?
Wait, can we talk about this for a little bit? Because the emailer didn't say that the Colts haven't played anybody. He said that their defense has been untested because they haven't played a lot of quality offenses. And
correct.
I think that's accurate.
Correct.
The Patriots have not played a lot of tough teams, but they have played teams that are ranked in the top 10 in offense, four of them, as a matter of fact. Cincinnati, San Diego, Dallas, and believe it or not, Cleveland.
Mm-hmm. Why shouldn't it be close? The Colts haven't trailed in the second half all year. The Colts have, statistically, the best pass defense in the NFL. Colts will win because Dungy's book sold more than Belichick's. Lawrence in Oregon. Is that true?
I don't have any
What's
idea.
Belichick's book, The Education of a Coach?
The Halberstam book?
Because that's not really his book, right?
No.
He doesn't have a book yet.
No, not that I know of.
Someday he might have a book.
Brian Moore will be writing it.
What the hell is that noise, Gary?
Think Beeping Brian Moore will be writing it?
No chance. this is from somebody, I don't know, gentleman Is that opening acceptable of Mighty Andy? Maybe this is a guy I deleted because it said Paul and nobody else, so I deleted it and didn't read the rest of the email.
Is that what I was yeah. taking a break?
The major reason the NFL Network picked Manning 7-3 had a lot to do with who was on the panel. Unbelievably, both Manning, former head coach Jim Mora, and former teammate Marshall Faulk were among around six so-called analysts making the picks. Yes, the same Marshall Faulk who, with a straight face when breaking down both teams' offenses, picked the Colts in every one of eight offensive categories.
Yeah, that's silly.
By the way, Andy, your dismissing of my previous email only conclusively proves that for some reason, that for some of you, it's just all about me. If the emailers don't kowtow to your overblown egos, you just blow them off. You don't care about the substance of the email, but more about your feelings were hurt. No wonder, blah, blah, blah. You deserve it, Andy.
Why is he pluralizing that? Andy's the only one that takes
offense. No, I think I said that, Andy.
All I know is Paul wasn't here, and you addressed it directly to Paul, so I deleted it. I thought this was a show that had many co-hosts, and I thought it was directed at some of the panel here. So if you want to talk to Paul, email Paul. I don't give a rat's ass.
As I said, he's the only one that would take any offense.
All right, we got another new caller, I think, although I'm not always good with those characterizations. Ben in Vermont. Ben, what's going on?
Hey, guys. I am a first-time caller.
Nice. Ben, glad to have you.
Are you the one that goes to college in Vermont?
I'm not.
Oh, okay.
I did, but not anymore.
So why else would you be in Vermont?
I work here.
What do you do? Maple syrup?
I'm an engineer.
Really?
Yeah, boring, you know.
Where in Vermont you live?
Just outside of Burlington.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, northern part. You went to school in the south, right?
Yeah, I've been up to Burlington. Nice country up there.
Hey, you guys ever watched the Harlem Globetrotters when you were kids? Or
yeah,
I watched them Sunday at Gillette Stadium.
Does it remind you of the Patriots playing teams like Washington and Miami? And
little bit, little
that's
bit.
That's what I'm seeing when I watch these guys play. It's like they're playing teams who are they're just jokes.
Yeah, but the Washington team and the Globetrotters, they were paid to not win, right?
True.
No, they won sometimes.
No, I know, but they were paid to kind of be the comic foil or the whatever they call it. But
yeah, because I mean,
the Redskins were paid to win.
When the guy's spinning the ball on his finger for an hour, you could have probably taken that.
I don't think Dan Snyder was paying his Redskins to just play, you know, play the foil or whatever to Bill Belichick's team.
But it does look like practice out there.
Yep.
Yeah, it looks like they're just toying with him.
Absolutely.
That's not how it's supposed to look. But you don't mind, do you?
They've made it look very, very easy.
Last 2 weeks, they've had practice, working on two-minute drives. Some people believe they started working on Colts plays against the Redskins just to, you know, if you happen to see Tom Brady flip his wristband over to get some new plays. Some people believe that was the Colts plays, and they were starting, they were turning the page the next week.
I would
Colts.
Believe if they had Colts plays, Bill wouldn't show them in a 52-7 blowout.
Yes, that's accurate.
Well, I hope the practice pays off. I have the Pats by 2 touchdowns.
Well, Patriots Nation is behind you, pretty much everyone, feeling pretty good about this game heading in.
Well, take care, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, no problem. Send syrup. I like syrup.
What is wrong with you?
What? Isn't that what Vermont's known for, syrup and leaves and some of those bridges that are covered?
That's somewhat accurate.
What else they got? I mean, I'd be happy to praise them for whatever they do up there.
They don't do too much.
Tom went to school there. He spent the best 10 years of his life there.
They're mostly known for snow or skiing is the big things, and syrup.
And syrup. Yeah, let's stick with about not calling in. This is Diane Richardson. Hey, guys, you all seem to be in a better mood lately. We take it from Bill. However Bill is, we are, and he's been happy as can
be
the last few days.
I mean, when you win every game by 25 points, well, you don't have anything to be complaining about.
I kind of got a split personality. Some days I'm in a good mood, some days I'm not.
And plus, we've been getting a lot of food lately, and we're happy when we eat. Usually when we're slow and boring and cranky, it's because we're sitting here with no food to eat. We have more energy with
food. The show does happen right at lunchtime, and if we don't have food.
And Tom's the only one with real diabetes, but don't they say blood sugar affects your mood?
Yeah.
Just for normal people?
It certainly does.
Not that you're abnormal. Didn't mean to go all Bill Parcells on you there. No disrespect to the diabetics in the audience.
No disrespect to the abnormal.
Hey, we got another one, though, the guy from the Philippines, right? He's diabetic.
Yeah, Dave in the Peens. I haven't been a listener for long, but I've heard enough to know that you can be very cruel to callers, quite belligerent. So I suspect this to be the reason people listeners don't call much. The dog listeners call?
I gotta disagree.
I don't think we're much meaner to, and we're much meaner to emailers than we are to callers.
Yeah, the only guy we're belligerent to really is Craig.
It's Craig, and that's a joke.
Right, it's a running joke. It would be mine if I were inclined to call, which I'm not. Your language is also a bit crude at times. I agree. And just because the writer swears it doesn't mean you have to read it. Smart, clever, informative, and funny doesn't need to be dragged into the gutter.
Thanks, Gary.
I'm going to keep this one.
I agree with you,
Diane.
Wants
to set the site.
I disagree.
You and Diane should go somewhere.
I think you can be funny without being crude.
NPR is calling, Paul. We got another new caller from the West Coast.
I don't think douchebag is swearing. I just don't. I've never thought of it as swearing.
Well,
you guys think it's okay to say bitch slap, which I've never heard on TV ever, and is hitting a woman. And you don't think you can say douchebag. That's garbage.
It's not hitting a woman.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Not anymore, it isn't.
No, it's not.
Not anymore, it isn't.
Paul, how many times have you heard bitch slap anywhere?
A million.
And
you have?
Yes. And I don't think that's really appropriate either if we're going to split hairs.
All right.
We've been saying your word for 3 years now. So are we going to stop saying that and start saying something else? It certainly isn't meant to be taken literally that it hits a woman. Anybody advocates hitting a woman, I mean, come on.
And you think when you call someone a douchebag, that means they're
a
jerk. It doesn't mean that's the literal.
Well,
I just think it's crude, that's all.
And well, I think
the other word is crude, too.
Right.
Absolutely.
All right.
I think they're both inappropriate. What do you want me to say?
Is it inappropriate to call the head coach a despicable human being on the air?
Well, it's certainly not offensive language.
All right.
All right, Bob in California, we got another first-time caller from the West Coast. Bob, what's going on out there?
Hey, guys.
What do you got for us?
I think the Pats are going to win by at least two touchdowns. And I'm going to Reno. I'll probably put some money on the game up in Reno.
Nice.
How much money are you putting down?
Maybe $500.
Wow. $500? Wow, you're feeling pretty good about this one.
Laying the five, huh?
I was in Reno for the game against Miami. And I'll tell you, the crowd up there, the sports book, was really happy when they put Brady back in.
Well, it's true. That was getting close there, right?
It was
16 that game, if I'm not mistaken. 16.
A lot of
and
people
half.
Had Miami.
The spread was getting close. Everyone was.
And it was down to 21. You get one funny thing happened in the last 5 minutes. They put Brady back in. They ended that.
Yeah, so everyone enjoyed that up there. I also went to the game in Dallas. That was it felt a lot closer in person than it did hearing about it after the game.
Well, the school. I mean, the
it was
game
close
was,
in the third quarter. Yeah, they led.
That was the only game they were tested. Dallas gave them a run in that game. I don't think they had a chance to win, but I mean, you know what? 10 minutes left, 31-24, something like that. I mean, that game was in question. You know, much later than any other game.
So, is $500 a small bet for you? Are you feeling that good about this game?
That's a good bet.
That's a good chunk of money.
Okay,
to you,
it.
It's not.
That's not a huge bet.
So you bet a lot more than that. All right. Apparently Bob in California's got a bit of a problem. All right, Bob. Thanks for the call. We enjoy the first-time caller, especially, you know, Tom always happy to hear from a fellow gambler out there, especially someone who laughs at $500 wagers.
I would agree. I think it's fun to have someone actually put their money where their mouth is.
So, Bob, I am putting you on the list to buy us lunch, because if you're willing to just piss away $500, bucks, you can send us $50 worth of food anytime
you win,
you want.
You should definitely buy us lunch.
Yeah, if you win... I expect lunch, and I expect you will win, so enjoy Reno, and send us some food. This is Dave from Connecticut. Guys, love the show. I just want to say this game won't even be close. Patriots 48-31. They lead by 10 with less than 2 minutes to go, and Tom Brady tosses a touchdown to Randy Moss as time expires, thus pissing off the Colts and the rest of the league. Gentlemen, can I get the phone number of the Papagino's near you so I can send you lunch sometime? You certainly can. Gary Gerdecki will get back to you with that. I will not delete this email. I'll let Gary take care of that. 38-20.
Already done.
Oh, well done, Gary. 48-31 on a late score. That's
kind of close.
It's kind of close. 10 points in the fourth quarter is reasonably close, especially for these Patriots teams. I mean, you score a late touchdown as time expires.
It's all relative. On the last play.
It's all relative. Right.
I mean, a 10-point game, you're basically saying it's a 10-point game.
Right.
It's all relative. That's close.
And they'll be throwing it up in the end zone with Moss if they get a chance, probably, right?
Oh, sure.
Ilpolian.
Yeah.
Colts.
Sure.
They can't be happy.
I think, you know.
Tony Dungy, Barry Bonds.
I think they have a commitment to excellence. I think they're trying to do everything.
So they really just are the Raiders?
I think they're trying to do everything as perfectly as they can.
Okay. So far, they're getting it done.
Speaking of perfect.
Oh, boy. I was thinking, speaking of the DB word that you don't want us to use anymore.
Where's Fred?
We're a little worried.
I don't care what you use.
We're a little worried. We don't know.
Fred said he couldn't do the show.
He's busy. He's
what?
Stressed out. I don't know.
He's stressed
Patriot
out.
Patriot Place. Who knows? He's got a lot going on.
He's got meetings.
Does he do stuff with Patriot Place?
I don't really know what Fred does, but he does a lot of stuff. Just the what?
Media guy.
That's Stacey James.
He does a lot.
I don't mean media relations. I mean bigger than.
Interactive media?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he's involved with meetings like that, organizational stuff and ideas and... You know, he and Jonathan, as you've pointed out in the past, talk to each other often.
Fred's got a lot of, balls in the air at the same time.
Yes.
I don't know exactly what he
it's
does.
Too bad. I was
hey, Tom, I have a quick one for
you.
Why did Glennon have that funny shirt on last night?
They lost.
Oh, they lost their uniforms.
There's like four of them.
Oh, really?
Those are
the old Georgia Tech jerseys.
They were Georgia Tech shirts with no names on them, right?
So they taped out everything, wrote their names on the back, and they were making a big deal about it, like that they didn't have extras. And I'm thinking, do the Patriots bring 53 extra jerseys?
Why would you have extras?
I don't assume they bring.
I thought the interesting thing was they reported, they looked at where they were being stored. They have a camera, and there's nothing on the camera. Like, they disappeared off the face of the earth. They looked at the video camera, and no one came in, no one. So it's,
I guess, is a Chris Ferreira didn't do his job. Somebody was supposed to bring the jersey.
And right now he's blaming somebody else.
Right. Right now he's doctoring footage, and there's going to be a little mouse that runs across dragging a jersey.
Yeah.
But it's funny. When they were talking at the game, that's all I could think of is the Patriots don't bring extra jerseys. I can't imagine that there's 53 extra jerseys.
Now, what would happen, though, if a jersey ripped? Like, say, Seau ripped his jersey. How do you...
Maybe they do bring 53 extra. I don't know. I know they have to fix it, but...
Do you know that, Gary? What happens?
Maybe they have, like, one or two extras in case they have an emergency and they need
something. Well, I know one issue is if it's bloody, you have to get rid of it. Mm-hmm. By rule, like, through AIDS and everything that's gone over in the centuries, you have to get rid of the jersey. I know that happened to me in a high school game where I had to leave a game and they made me remove a jersey.
Did they have an extra jersey?
But not mine.
You just like put they had
a,
on?
I wore a different number. I was like Jordan. You know that famous Jordan highlight when he left his somewhere in Dartmouth archives. Remember the night Andy Hart wore 47?
You yelled over to the Tom Casale on the bench and say, "Hey, give me your jersey."
They really did. They peeled it off a sophomore's back.
I would think that's what they would do with the pro level. They would have to.
So Brady would play with Castle's jersey or Gutierrez. Yeah. Well, what about when Goots needs to cover a kick? What's he gonna wear?
Well, gonna have to go without.
It's an interesting, it'll be one of those things where you at least would make a good note for the note pages of PFW. A little photo of Tom Brady wearing a different jersey, forever go down in history. My name is Belichick. Oh boy, my idea is catching on. This is, somebody. John in LA, far be it from me to blow past a perfectly solid idea for a TV show. So a legitimate professional is saying it was a perfectly solid idea. I like.
What would you ever have on? John, have you ever sold anything? Because I used to call.
Let's not get into details.
He can't buy us lunch because he doesn't have any money.
I used to call myself a professional writer before I got a job, and it was a lie.
Only to go
I
off
even
on.
Call myself a professional writer now.
My idea. It is the Hollywood way, but damn it, I'm better than that. You guys are right, by the way. There are very few, if any, films or shows that aren't derivative of some other story. The genius is in recycling an idea or structure and reinventing as something new. I'd love to hear more and promise not to steal it, if for no other reason than wanting to preserve my pipeline to Bill Walshing Peckerwoods. More? I mean, that's the idea. I was expecting him to take it from there and, you know, turn it into something. What more do you need?
I can't wait I can't wait to follow this story.
Andy's like, that's all I got.
Yeah, that's a show. You guys always use that quote. That's a show.
You don't understand. Andy wants to come up with the idea, sit on his couch, and get rich. You don't expect
but
him
he'll
to
split
like,
it with the 80-20. Yeah.
Just so you know, Andy's already jumped to the 100-episode mark where we can go into syndication. What do they call those checks you get every week, no matter
residuals?
What? Even when it's on in the peens and David's watching it and there's, yeah, I want all that money just flowing in. It's about money flowing in. That's what you don't get. Please tell Gary he should not take the Napoleon Dynamite intro out of the loop as was suggested yesterday. Who suggested taking
someone
that?
Someone said come up with a new intro. You use that all the
time. That's a classic. It's been repeated enough that it's come back around to the point where it's always funny.
Sweet.
Thank you to whomever cut off Tom as he veered toward explaining what it would mean literally to call someone a douchebag.
I wasn't going to go into it.
I
trusted him. I
was going to say, to be honest with you, I don't really know the full explanation.
And I don't want to.
I kind of have an idea.
And I didn't think he was going to.
Certain things my wife talks about, I go, don't you have a sister? Call her.
I
don't want to know anything about women.
I'm on the same page. I've never really had conversations about that with my wife.
Yeah,
so.
That's why I'm glad I don't have a daughter. I don't want to ever learn about the inner workings of a woman.
That's probably why I don't think the word's that bad. Don't really know what it means.
As close as I got was having a kid. That's as much as I want to know. Okay, Gary, you took care of the food guy. Eric's charity, we'll skip past that. Somebody wants to buy tickets for Eric's thing. So, Gary, can you forward this to Eric Scalavino so he can contact the guy? The guy wants $20 worth of tickets, and he's going to donate him to the Tom Casale Portrait Fund.
Okay.
You and a fig leaf. It's coming closer to fruition,
so how
baby.
How many tickets does he get for that, Tom?
The
$20 worth.
That's 24. Hey. 24. I just added 10, 12 twice because I couldn't do that.
It was my understanding that there would be no math.
Brian Zakowski
Senior, blah, 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 Aspen, Colorado has one that says, subject, Andy Hart has AIDS. Andy Hart has AIDS. Just read this on ProFootballTalk.com. Is this true? No. But if we want to get into my personal life, I do carry the anti... I don't know. I mentioned AIDS because of the blood thing and...
Oh.
That could be.
Let's not go down that road.
I didn't get it.
Indy Star reports that the Colts say Marvin has been cleared to play, but it has yet to be decided. I'm telling you, he's playing. Oh. It's yet to be decided whether he will or not, but I'm telling you, he's playing.
I just think it doesn't really matter because he can't play.
He's not because of the injury.
Yeah, he's not going to be able to.
This could be a Roy Green thing. Remember that? Roy Green all of a sudden they got beat deep.
And they'll give Bill a nice... That'll be fun because they'll give Bill an excuse to go into that story.
What if he's like not really hurt, though? You know, like we think that he's hurt, but what if it's the other way where...
Then Chris Ferreira, we all owe an apology because he's right. Dungy manipulated the injury.
And I have to tweak up the Dungy rating a little bit from just good old-fashioned solid coach to... going into Belichick world of cheating, manipulating, everything.
But he might want to win this game so badly that he's taking a page out of old Bill's book and not being St. Dungy. I mean,
or maybe he's got nothing to do with it.
We know the Patriot.
Quick question. Injury report. Who is responsible for the injury report?
What do you mean?
In an organization.
Do you feel like you're taking the SAT right now?
I don't know what
In an organization like the Patriots, you assume nothing happens without Bill Belichick's stamp of approval, right?
Absolutely.
But not all organizations.
It would be Belichick.
But I'm talking about elsewhere. Is it Bill Polian? Is it Tony Dungy? Is it the training staff?
The coach looks at the if the coach has a problem with it, that's when Casey sends one of his seven new emails every day where it has correction on it. The coach, if he sees something on there that shouldn't be on it, is probably held responsible for it, I would imagine, because I think
agree.
It's too hard to say, well, Stacey's responsible
but
for
what
it.
But what if Bill Polian says, Tony, this is how we're playing the injury report this week. We're putting Harrison, team decision. Don't worry. If anybody questions it, I'm on the competition committee. What are they going to do to me?
If Tony gets fined, he sends the email to Bill Polian and says, here, pay this.
And maybe Bill says, I'll pay it.
I agree with Tom. I think the coach ultimately has that responsibility.
I say Bill Polian's dabbling. I'm saying he has his little tentacles in this.
I'm not saying that's not true. You're asking who's the responsibility on if the NFL comes down on
it. Right.
I'm not saying Bill Polian isn't involved in
manipulating
the system.
I'm saying Bill's doing it. It's Bill versus Bill this week in the manipulation of injury reports, and I like it.
God bless America, right?
Yes, and that Absolutely. Voice is back. That's Michael Felger getting out the laptop. You got some interviews coming up, hopefully?
Yeah.
Are they here right now?
Nope.
Okay, good. We got Matt from Quincy taking
is
a nice...
Matt Light coming in?
Yes.
Matt Light absolutely owns Dwight Freeney. I mean, he just dominates every time.
He's not really out there right now, suck up.
Okay, I'll wait a few more
minutes
for that
get off your knees. Matt with Quincy, from Quincy, a cheap shot at me, as he has been wont to do in the past. Imagine if Andy had bloodied his helmet instead of his jersey, and they had to find him a new one. Is it
Game
possible
over.
They could have found another helmet to fit that massive cranium? Ha, ha,
Andy
ha.
Andy could have just played without a helmet.
That's not funny.
Game over.
Is it okay to make fun of my head? Maybe I have that disease. That's a disease, that cranium extra bigus.
I think Matt's the one who...
Yeah, Matt's the one who brought it up. That's a real disease. So under the Americans with Disabilities Act, I'd like to say you need to make special concessions for me to work here. And
how'd you do on the big show yesterday, Pauly Paul?
I was bludgeoned to death.
Did you try? Or did you
I spent about an hour and 15 minutes getting bludgeoned, and then I just said, all right, I give up.
It takes a lot. You've got to totally commit to it to do that.
And I told you, I talked to you about it the night before. It's like you decide between 2 and 2:30, do I really want to get yelled at for 4 hours today?
Sometimes you're just not in the mood.
Right. Really?
It's like my wife.
But, yeah, I took a beating early, and then I just said, all right, let's just get on with this and talk about the Colts. Because I actually do think the Patriots are going to beat the Colts, so I figured we could move on to that.
Well, they would accept that dialogue.
Right, right. I wasn't getting bludgeoned anymore when I, you know, was agreeing with the expert analysis of, they're just better. That's just plain and simple. They're better. Okay.
Clint Scholes calling you out, Felger.
Who?
Clint Scholes.
Scholes.
Ooh, like it matters. Like, you know who Clint Scholes is.
Well, I don't know.
Bring it on, hey, Clint. Felger. What is your excuse for your weekly picks? 61-54, way behind the PFW guys. You're only beating Flip LaChance by 3 games. TV too much for you? And Curran, who is 66-49? Good job, PFW guys. Keep kicking the crap out of the TV heads.
Well, Felger has his week 14 picks in already. So.
Well, sometimes. Other times he just goes 3 weeks without making any picks.
I don't always get that email, fellas. So.
Well, how do you sometimes get it and sometimes not?
I suck. I don't know.
You have the same email address, right?
Sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not.
I was going to say, am I really hitching my wagon to Carol Hardy, the least reliable employee in this building? Sorry, Carol. You're doing a fine job up there.
We have just sprayed the entire admin level with rocket shots today.
Oh, I'll get a return fire at some point.
And sorry, Chris, you're the least valuable.
Yeah, that's true. Chris Ferreira stinks.
You guys are jerks.
What? He likes when we talk about him. He said he it does. Makes him feel like part
what?
Of the
you know
show.
What? About
him.
You're right. Makes... You're right. I'm a jerk because he does like it.
He enjoys
likes,
it.
He likes when we talk about
you know
him.
You know he so goes home and tells his wife, hey, they were talking about me on the
right.
radio.
Tom and Andy, I apologize 1,000 times. He likes it.
Hopefully he does air quotes when he says radio. Radio. Brian Fisk in Brookings, South Dakota.
Now that sounds
just
like
a new one.
Yeah.
A new one.
Don't know that name.
Pudge. Hey boys, I've got the Pats by 10, but I definitely wouldn't be surprised if this game turned out much like the Dallas game. That is to say, the Pats pull away in the fourth quarter. I definitely side with Tom when he says saying the word douchebag isn't swearing. A douchebag is a medical tool used to deliver medications.
You know,
so saying douchebag isn't swearing.
For some reason, on EEI, they stop allowing people to say it to me.
And it was the most entertaining aspect of that show when they would just put that whiner line together
after
another. Felger, you
epic.
Douchebag!
I don't claim to know the answer. I just always thought it wasn't swearing.
Hydrocephalus, by the way. Matt emailed in the
yes, it's a medical condition that I suffer from. Hats don't fit me. You shouldn't make fun of it.
Hydrocephalus.
Steve in Montana. We are big in the... What did I call this region? Upper middle of the country where no one cares.
It's
Montana.
Really, it's the Mountain West. It's the
Montana's the Mountain
yeah.
West. South Dakota's
big
Mountain
West.
Big
Sky Country.
Yeah.
Big Sky.
Big
country.
Sky Country.
Yeah.
Hey
it's
Pecker.
Not the Midwest.
Subject: missing jerseys. Hey Peckerwoods. Everyone knows that if the Pats lost their jerseys, the game would go shirts and skins. Talk about a visual. Vince Wilfork. Ugh.
Try going to the locker room and seeing that.
At least Brandon Gorn isn't here anymore. God.
Oh, worst boobs in the whole league. Terrible.
Wow.
His breasts were bigger than Paul's. Massive.
I knew that was coming.
I have a problem with one of our previous callers, the guy from the Blue Jays. How come he didn't tip us that Matt Stairs was going to be re-signed? Now, I didn't know that when I said they had no chance.
You got a call from Butterfield?
Front office in the Blue Jays calling us.
I thought it might have been that guy. And
the
I
third base coach for Toronto is
from around here.
Chronic Patriot fan. He yes. He wore his 55 because McGinnis, it was his favorite player. I mean, the guy's chronic. He watches the Comcast shows. Like,
it's moronic if you wore 55.
Right. Pick a good player. Pick a guy who didn't stink.
You guys are unbelievable.
Pick a guy who lived up to his draft status.
You got Brady. You got Troy Brown. You got
anybody.
Teddy Bruschi.
Welker.
You got Mike Vrabel.
Right. Anybody.
Well, I'm sure
Chris Hansen.
Then I'm sure it's a J.P. Ricciardi-Worcester connection.
Yeah, well, it's a guy actually from Canada who's he's working on an internship.
And he was truly Canadian because he said,
yes.
I just finished university.
University.
Which is how those,
yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm. I had an Irish roommate used to say
Canadian,
that. University.
But he did say that his boss was J.P. Ricciardi, so we started talking about the Blue Jays, and Tom got mad.
Yeah, then we went off into the Celtics because Bill talked about Doc Rivers
and
today.
Tom got
really mad. Then we went on to the Bruins because there was bloody fight last night.
Wanted to punch me.
What did Bill say about Doc Rivers?
Well, he responded to Tom Curran's question of Celtics.
That was the question.
Well, Celtics I did talk tonight. To Doc, and he went into a serious answer about how he talked to him because the season started.
Oh, so it's a setup question. Bears called Tom and said, ask him about Celtics.
Well, he couldn't get through to you anymore, so...
I was going to say, you seem to talk about that in very informed terms.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just telling you what happened.
You're just not that guy anymore, and you're a little jealous.
How long has it been since you've been that guy?
I'm definitely not that guy.
When did you really specifically jump ship and not be that guy
anymore? Can you give us that?
It was
can we do that timeline
it was
in the last
a
10 minutes?
Slow spiral. You know,
really?
I don't know.
What was the first reason pushing you off the ship?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you exactly. Shots taken in the paper,
critical. Actually, you mentioned the Big Show yesterday, and I wanted to ask you this. Your name came up a couple of times in derogatory fashion, and I wanted to get your side of this, because I defended you, and I'm being honest about this.
What did they say about me?
After the 2004 Patriots win over Indianapolis, okay, that was the 14-2 year, Corey Dillon, dominant offense and defense, and they blew Indianapolis out of the water, even though Indianapolis came into that game favored. All the defensive backs were out.
Mm-hmm.
Were you still saying after that game that the Colts are better than the Patriots?
No.
Yeah, that's what I thought. They were trying to tell me that they're running it up because they don't want to leave any doubt as to who the better team is. I said, what are you talking about? I said, do you have any doubt who the best team was in 04? Who doubts that the Patriots were the best team in 04? Oh, a lot of people still think the Colts were better. I said, the Colts? What are you kidding me?
They beat them 20-3.
I said they gave up 3 points with Troy Brown playing in the secondary. Who thinks that the Colts were better? No one thinks that. Oh, Mike Felger.
I'm an easy target.
Talking to the mic, please.
You think
he's having
a guy,
an awful lot of trouble.
Yeah, he's
with that
trying
computer.
To pull some wire through
a hole.
You think
a guy with his own radio show would know enough to speak into the microphone?
You have you guy, heard the show?
You think a guy with his own computer would know where to plug the...
I'm an easy target. When easy
could,
target.
When the times that I couldn't hear him, I just assumed I lost the signal. I didn't realize he wasn't speaking into the mic.
So you were passing by the station?
Just saying. I actually get
oh,
it.
Oh, I know. We appreciate everything you do for us.
I get the
Don't
show.
Don't give me the guilt trip. It's actually, all good radio. We're just having fun.
And he was hyping up the Hans and Franz today, too. I heard him yesterday.
Because we're back. Baseball's over and they need us again.
That's right.
Hans and Franz.
Joe Haggerty, get the hell out. Hans and Franz are back.
Boy, by the way,
still down
speaking
one
of him, boy, did you toy with him during the baseball playoffs.
Yeah?
Basically, his line of thinking, the Red Sox are going to win because. That was his. That was the
well,
extent
of his
analysis.
That's Fred's thinking with the Patriots.
Yeah, yeah, we make fun of Fred.
So is Fred, does he acknowledge that they're piling on?
Somewhat.
On the radio or somewhat. Behind the...
Right. In the press box while it's happening
right,
or on the radio?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
In the press box, yes. On the radio, he gets into semantics and, well, if that's what you want to define scoring a certain number of points as...
In the press box, he said they are running it up.
I don't know.
Didn't he say,
on the radio,
even I'm going to have trouble defending this?
On the radio, it's... If that's what you want to call it, yes.
You know, if you maybe on TV or if you're just reading the game sheet, which I think some people who are debating this actually have done. I think there's a lot of people who didn't actually watch the fourth quarter, and I don't blame them. I mean, if I'm not getting paid to watch that fourth quarter, why would I do it? So I'm not blaming someone for not watching it. But I get the sense
there's a joke in there somewhere about you being paid to watch the first quarter and you don't watch that.
So those who are saying that they weren't running up, I don't think they saw it. I mean, certainly when you're there, I don't know how you get any other feeling.
Well, I had a defense yesterday was that they ran the ball as often as they threw it in the fourth quarter. I said, well, that was awfully nice of them with a 45.
And, Felger, I was in the Redskins locker room, and they were just so defeated. And they didn't want to say there was nothing we could do about it. Stop doing this to us. But that's kind of like the vibe you got. Like, they weren't mad. Like, they weren't saying – I mean, I know Randall Godfrey was a little bit, but the main guys that I talked to were just like, you know, like –
Hey, did you read Chris Cooley's
There's no other way to describe it.
Did you read Chris Cooley's comment, which I thought was really interesting, defending the Patriots, by the way.
He wants to play here, too?
We've had halftime leads both times we lost, and it's a lesson that we can learn from those guys. I think it's good they pile on the points. It teaches their guys to keep playing hard. Right now they're killing everybody, and I don't fault them. So it's not everybody.
When is Chris Cooley available?
It's not everybody that's been critical of the Patriots.
No. Well, it's the... Are there merits to running it up? And Chris Cooley's saying there are.
And there are some people, like I saw Mike Ditka just said, that's what you do. I don't care. You run it up all you want. There's old school guys like that. And
I thought Tom raised a great point that the fridge was in response to something that Bill Walsh did with one of his
batty
defensive
linemen.
Guy McIntyre was. Yeah. And that was just to rub, that was in a Bears game the previous year before
the
fridge started.
NFC Championship game in 84. San Fran led 23-0, and when they were running out the clock, they brought in Guy McIntyre at fullback, not to block. They actually handed the ball off to him. So the next season, the Bears were up 26-10 in the fourth quarter. That was the year the Bears went 15-1. And Ditka brought the fridge in.
That was the first time.
That was the first time, and that's what started the fridge sensation. And then, obviously, that went on to the Super Bowl, where he ran it up on the Patriots while Walter Payton was sitting on the sidelines.
Now listen, these guys are competitive, hyper-competitive, take any chance to MF the other guy and totally bury him. Bill Belichick wanted to bury and humiliate Joe Gibbs. And that's part of it, too.
And he did.
And I'm sure he's got things on him that go back 20 years of things that he hated that Gibbs did to him and did Parcells and back and forth and da-da-da. They've always been doing it. It doesn't mean they're not doing it. Just means it is part of the game.
It's
really
actually
is.
One of the aspects of Bill I truly, truly love. That I mean, he's a
vindictive
SOB and holds a grudge because I do this. Somebody doesn't hold the door for me once coming into this building. It goes into the back of this head, and I always remember it. And if I could run it up on them,
more.
I would.
I couldn't agree more.
This could have stemmed back from a reverse Joe Gibbs ran in 1984.
Right. You never know.
By 14.
Absolutely.
In the fourth
you never. And I love that about him. And not often I get to say that about Bill, but I truly, honestly love that about him.
But that sequence in the fourth quarter, I thought was so over the top to be entertaining. I mean, when it happened, I mean, we're all sitting in the same area of the press box. People were laughing.
Right.
I mean,
well, that's all you can do.
Except the Globe guys.
I mean, the bomb to Moss, and then a couple plays later, the quarterback sneak, and then they're still rushing to the line and the pass to Welker. It's like, it was interesting. I mean, that Belichick would be so blatant about it and so over the top about it is.
It was almost like.
It's almost refreshing.
It was like, Yeah, I'm doing it.
Yeah,
what are you going to say
well,
about
it's,
it?
It's the one of the emailers sent it in to us. It's in Gladiator. It's the character in Gladiator when he gives him what he wants and then yells, "Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?"
Well,
that's what Bill's doing.
I heard some people say, you know, will the league get involved? Blah blah blah. If I were the league, you know what I would do? I'd call Bill and say, "Hey,
keep
Bill, we appreciate what you're doing. Keep doing it."
Keep
then
it
Bill would say, "Wait, the league likes this."
He goes the other way,
holding back.
3-0 next week over the Colts. They'd win. So, Gary, do we not have a crossover with John Rook in his basement here?
There's not John Rook on Friday.
You are Fred. Turned into Fred.
I don't know what happened.
That's what Fred does every Friday.
Go Pats!
You make fun of him.
All right, well, that's going to do it for PFW in Progress then. No John Rook, more Mike Felger as he takes over here on Patriots.com. Some interviews with some players. Vrabel, Stallworth. No, Watson's back, right?
Vrabel, White, Stallworth's not going to do it. Watson's not doing it. So I had to request.
Dan Flacco.
First available white guy, Heath Evans. Yeah.
So it'll be entertaining whenever Hans and Franz join the show. Other than that, we can't guarantee anything other than players bitch-slapping Felger all across these airwaves.
And that's not entertaining?
And when are we coming down?
3:40.
So 3:40, make sure you tune back in. Otherwise, do whatever you want. That's going to do it for today. PFW in Progress. And as Fred Kirsch would say in this very seat, see you next Tuesday.